Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new zero sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like fruit punch and lemon lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today. This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new zero sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like fruit punch and lemon lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today. On today's part of my...
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply. No place to hang out or washing. And then I can't blame all on the sun. Oh no, we're gonna rock down to Electric Avenue. And then we'll take it higher. Oh, we're gonna rock down to Electric
Avenue. It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take. Today is Monday, March 28th, and the Blue Blood Invitational is set. The Final Four is ready to go. The Holy War, Duke versus UNC, Kansas and Villanova, we're there. It's going to be an all-time weekend in New Orleans.
This might be the best Final Four start to finish in terms of brands.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started.
I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy.
Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
That's so mean.
That's fucked, Hank.
That's a dookie for you, though.
I'm sorry,
They thumb their nose at everyone else. Look, the state schools.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, okay, safety school. Mm-hmm. Hank could have gotten there with his eyes closed.
Yeah, Hank got a full academic scholarship to NC State. Turned it down.
I do think, though, that if UNC, and it's interesting, like everyone's going to say, oh, these two teams have never played before in the NCAA tournament. Have you heard that one yet?
Wait, what?
No, that's first reported by us on Pardon My Take. First time, you must credit, if you see anybody saying that this is the first time they're playing in the history of the tournament, that stat actually came from us initially. I think that we're in a position where if UNC wins, that would be an all-time vindication for Roy Williams being a better head coach than Coach K. Not only all the stats that we've laid out before you, showing what Roy Williams has done since he got to Carolina at that same time period against Coach K's teams, but if Roy Williams picked the perfect time to walk away and his hand-chosen successor beat Coach K, who stuck around for a year-long suckfest, only to have the most talented team in college basketball that ended up losing to Roy Williams' hand-picked successor after he walked away with no retirement suckfest. I think that's another feather in the cap for Roy.
He also, though, has – it could go the other way for him. UNC could lose, and Kansas could win it all, and then Bill Self – he already has a better resume at Kansas than Roy Williams did, but it would be like a total dunk on of his resume at Kansas versus Roy Williams' resume.
I'd be fine with that. He was a better Kansas coach than Roy Williams.
He was.
Roy Williams
was
better in the state of North Carolina than Coach K.
This is going to be, on a personal level, this is, I would imagine, the biggest game of my life where neither of my teams have anything to do with it. I was trying to think about it. Like, obviously, a big Packers playoff game or LeBron in the finals. But this is, it's everything you love about sports because if UNC wins, it will be one of the best nights ever. Again, without my team involved. If Duke wins, it couldn't be more of a storybook, like, ride for Coach K. He's already, I've already admitted some defeat because getting to the Final Four is like his farewell tour has worked. And I also just want to say, Hank, I feel for Coach K at this point in the farewell tour. He had a quote on Wednesday where he said, it wears on you a little bit because everywhere you walk, everyone is taking a picture of you and they're watching everything. And I just like, this poor guy, everyone's trying to take a picture of him on this tour that he announced 10 months ago. I never saw this coming.
That was never the idea.
Never, ever. It was all about the players all the time. So Coach K living in a fishbowl here, again, after announcing his retirement tour 10 months ago and then making everyone suck him off for 10 months straight, I feel bad for him. His penis is probably tired, Hank. He's been sucked dry.
Yeah.
And he's still got five more days to go.
There's only so much you can produce.
So, this is monumental. I am very, very nervous for this weekend because it's all – I spent all day Saturday.
Maybe my favorite, the best Twitter Big Cats ever performance ever had.
Saturday
was like porn.
I made myself sick. I made myself sick on Saturday.
Were you Durham Dan?
I was Dookie Dan. I ended up Saturday night like having a splitting headache because I spent all day Saturday looking up obscure Coach K facts and tweeting about how he was already in the Final Four. I even had Quigs and Memes work up a Photoshop that I pretended that Duke deleted a tweet and everyone thought it was real. So I had to like actually be like, yo, wait, this isn't real.
What tweet was it?
It was congrats on your 13th Final Four from the Duke men's basketball account.
Like they accidentally and tweeted it said, out ahead
and
of time.
Right before the game, I was like, okay. I spent all day trying to jinx Duke. And then right before the game, I tweeted it was like, guys, I'm a little nervous that Duke just jinxed this. Mm-hmm. And everyone took it as real and was like, NCAA rigged. You're telling me this isn't already set?
Did you get reported for misinformation?
I don't know, but I know that...
This account has been flagged.
I know that I looked at the quote tweets after like 10 minutes and everyone was like, this shit is so rigged, they already fucking know they're in the Final Four.
That would have been very funny if Big Cat and the Babylon Bee were the two people out there fighting to get back onto Twitter.
It's been a hellacious time. I don't know. I'm getting dunked on by Grayson Allen on Thursday night, there's an extra special like thing that sucks that happens is when I get dunked on and I retweet it because, you know, I deserve to get dunked on. I went game of the year on Texas Tech. It didn't work out. I always will eat my humble pie when things blow up in my face. But I retweeted it. And then like 2 seconds later, I see Henry Lockwood retweeted it because he saw me retweet it.
But it was a retweet that was not in the spirit of good fun.
And he saw me retweet
it.
He then spite retweeted it in my face.
Thank you for bringing this to my attention.
What you did was targeted harassment.
Correct.
That's exactly when Big Cat did it. It was like, I can joke about myself.
Yeah, like
no,
I can
like,
eat
it's like
you
promotion. Do it. It's like, well, you know, we're in a sports podcast when, you know, these major sports athletes are in.
Is he the first person that has ever been dunked on by Grayson Allen?
No, he's thrown down.
The other one yesterday that it came out of Spider, came out of this joking phrase, but the Bear, Chris Falica, replied to one of your tweets talking about how they're going to win, go to the Final Four already before the game. He said, today they will beat Arkansas, which beat them in 1994 title game. Mm-hmm. He will avenge loss to UNC in final game at Cameron. And then he will beat Kansas in title game.
Okay.
Wins his last game and last title versus the same team he beat for his first title.
It is laid out like a storybook.
But
right
let
now.
Me also.
I almost cried.
It's kind of crazy. But, this is NCAA. That is beautiful.
Because fucking Coach K has been coaching for 200 fucking years. Of course he's played every team in the tournament. The guy won't fucking give up a job just
but
like he did in USA basketball.
Three in a row is beautiful. A team that you lost to, a team that you lost to in the championship. Well, yeah, I guess that too.
Who did they beat in the
Fullerton?
Fullerton. That there's probably somebody find me that storyline out there that somehow connects Coach K to Cal State Fullerton.
I mean, Jake's gonna talk about running out of loads. Like he's gonna come himself every single day.
Did you see some of the connections I made last night?
I do want to see though, Jake. That'll be a good project for you. Figure out, because that's going to be the missing piece. Somebody will be able to connect a dot on every single one of Coach K's victories this March Madness, except Fullerton. But so if you have that extra link.
PFT, I did this as a joke yesterday, and I made myself so fucking sick doing it because I found some insane stats. So, Coach, I don't know why I'm repeating this. It's again, it makes me want to fucking jump in front of a bus. But Coach K The site that has held the most Final Fours in his career since he's been at Duke is the Superdome, mm-hmm. yet he never has been to a Final Four in the Superdome. He even had a stretch where he went to 7 out of 9 Final Fours. The two that he didn't go during that stretch were in the Superdome. And the one of them was won by Bobby Knight, his mentor. The other mm-hmm. was won by Dean Smith and UNC in 93.
Wow.
Also, the one that made me really sick is he has made the Final Four from every region except the West. He finally did that last night. He completed the perfect bracket.
Even though he wanted to be in the Midwest.
Yes. All these stats. He beats John Wooden with the most Final Fours. It's just, it's sickening. And there's a documentary camera. But again, this is what is great about sports. Because Saturday night is nuts on the table. Lungs, liver, stomach, heart, brain, everything is on the table for this game. It's Duke, Carolina, have they ever met in the tournament?
Let me look it up. No, they actually haven't. So despite the fact that they've combined for 36 Final Fours, they've never met wow. in the NCAA tournament. Off the top of my head, I think Kentucky and Marquette have met the most with 10.
Wow. And it's everything is in there. Everything is in there. Like, if UNC wins this game, it will be devastation for Duke. And if Duke wins this game, it will be like the loss. His last loss in Cameron doesn't count. I know this. And the worst part is, like, on a purely basketball standpoint, Duke's playing fucking unbelievable. Like, I'll admit it. They mm-hmm. are playing lights-out basketball. They're so goddamn good on the offensive side of the ball. And, like, everyone that they needed, because I've unfortunately spent enough time around Hank and Rico and Marty that I know all the players on Duke. Like, all the guys they were complaining about in January are playing their balls off now.
No, they're a fun team. Like, I don't know shit about college basketball.
They're not fun.
And from when I started watching them, the first game, I actually saw them that tip-off game against Kentucky. I checked in with Duke a few times over the course of the year. They seem like they have the best team. When everybody's, like, when you have Banchero, Roach, and Keels all playing well at the same time, I don't think that you can stop them.
They hated Roach in January. They thought Mark Williams couldn't do anything in January.
Mark Williams is awesome.
Now these guys are like all-stars. Oh, also, I just thought of this. I popped in my head because you mentioned that first game. Didn't Kentucky win that game? Did they beat Duke?
No, Duke won. Yeah.
I know Kentucky kicked the shit out of Kansas, so that's got to hurt to know that you beat the fuck out of a team that is in the Final Four.
Mm-hmm. I will also be claiming this Duke national championship on behalf of Northern Virginia because they have two guys that went to school at Chantilly.
Hell yeah.
Like, right down the street. This is a Nova championship. And actually, you know what? Think about this, Baguette. If they beat UNC, they get to the championship game, wouldn't it be sweeter to see Coach K go out losing in the national on the biggest possible stage?
Oh, yeah.
That would be awesome.
But again, I'm running out of time. I've done everything. I went game of the year on his ass. I went fucking reverse and Dookie Dan on his ass all day. Made me want to kill myself. I now am going to put him in the CLP. I'm running out of bullets. I don't know what else to do. It's going to happen. I've kind of come to terms with the fact that, like, it's probably going to happen.
And we leave the room?
It's going to make me so, a part of me will die. A part of me will die when Coach K cuts down the nets one last time and I have to watch it. And I'm just like, and then they're going to put out the documentary and I'm going to watch the documentary because I have to. Because I have to find the points when he's being an egomaniac and a piece of shit and clip that and post it.
Oh, you don't think he's going to be the one that has final cut of that?
But I don't think he can. I don't think he knows how fucking ridiculous he is when he's like, I'm just sick of everyone taking pictures of me and making this about me. Like, he has no self-awareness of that.
I hope they include the part where he told Paolo Banchero to shut up last night on the court. That was something.
Yeah.
He came out there. He was just like, this is the GOAT right here. Which, by the way, I still think John Wooden is the GOAT. But
cheated, but so did Coach K.
Everybody cheated.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, I figured out why I say Wooten. I was watching the games with my dad last night. We were talking about the best coaches. He incessantly refers to John Wooden as John Wooten.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess that's like a regional dialect that I picked up from him. But
just the region just being your home?
Yeah, no, it's as Bruce Allen your would home. Say, the McLean accent that he's yes. got that throws yes. off. But yeah, Paolo Banchero was on the court being like, this is the GOAT. And Coach K, what does he say? He doesn't say, oh, thanks, that's so nice, or this is my favorite player. No, Paolo, you're the GOAT.
Yeah.
No, he says, shut the fuck up and get off the camera.
Shut the fuck up, go get another vodka soda.
Yeah.
I have the Cal State Fullerton potential connection. Okay. It was their first time ever playing each other, but on the date they played each other, Mike Krzyzewski was introduced as Duke's head coach on that date in 1980.
Wow. Yeah.
Wait, that was when?
when they played Cal State Fullerton.
Was the last time? Wait, oh, that was the day. Got it. Yeah. Did you, that Superdome stat was crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. It fucking makes me so sick.
I got to do some research on the Superdome and figure out exactly what the play is going to be for the over-unders in these Final Four games. Because some football stadiums are good for points. Some are really bad for points.
Well, over-unders are on – the unders are on a 11-1 streak right now in the Sweet 16 Elite Eight. So that was – this Elite Eight was exactly why I said this to start the tournament. I want upsets early, favorites late, and I'm not even going to blame – the great run by St. Peter's or the great run by Miami or even like Arkansas who stunned Gonzaga, I'm going to blame the guys who lost. Gonzaga, like, fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky, fuck you. Auburn, fuck you. Like, you guys ruined the Elite Eight for everyone else.
Tennessee, fuck you.
Yeah, I mean, you ruined it for everyone else. So St. Peter's, that was, we all knew it was going to end. When it was going to end very badly, and that was... I mean, it was never even close.
We always say, like, if a team pulls off that upset, 99 times out of 100, UNC wins this game. Yeah, this was one of the 99 times.
Yeah, and also, no one hated that game more than Matt Painter, because he was watching that game being like, wait, what's happening here? I thought this team was really good.
What a bad job he did, that Purdue did against them. Like, you've got them outsized. You've got one of the best players in the entire country. And then you just show up and you get dominated by guys that probably, position to position, you were probably 4 to 5 inches short of them across the board.
Yeah.
That was a really bad game plan that they had. Also, St. Peter's hit a lot of good shots in that game. But the slipper is off of the Peacocks.
Yeah, and we should at least mention, because I think, unfortunately for Nova and Kansas fans, they're basically in the back seat for this Final Four, even though they are blue bloods and have, like, you know, incredible history, basketball history and fans and everything. But this is not going to be about them. Like, trigger warning, it's not going to be about you for the next 5 days, six mm-hmm. days. But Villanova, terrible that Moore got hurt. They are the most consistent team in the country. Like, they just – everyone had Houston. Everyone had Houston. And it's like, oh, okay, Villanova's getting points. They're like that game was very difficult to watch, but that's Villanova just does it. Like,
How soon do you think until we see Nick Sirianni showing up with a Villanova shirt?
Oh, for
somewhere?
Sure.
He's probably getting like a big V tattooed on his arm.
He's definitely got it. And then Kansas, like, they deserve all the credit because they had the softest bracket, but guess what? They took care of business. That second half, they skull fucked Miami. And I feel bad for Miami because they did win the game of the year on Friday night, but they. That was just like, oh, okay, yeah, Kansas is really, really, really good. And Bill Self, credit to Kansas for having the situational awareness in the locker room after no one does the water on Bill Self's hair because he's got a toupee. So that's very smart.
It is like a pretty good toupee as far as toupees go.
Yeah, but
for somebody that spends that much time in front of a camera, especially with like the high angles that they have, that point down on coaches, you can always tell, like, probably 5 years before a college football coach is actually going bald, you can spot it from those angles. But his toupee it's a good one, but I feel like he also has to change the color of it once every, like, month or so.
Because the
rest of the hair is, like, going slightly gray, so he has to almost reverse just for men the toupee.
Right. But it is very funny because I noticed that, and I was like, oh, yeah, I bet you if this toupee gets wet, it won't get wet. And people be like, hey, why is this guy's hair not wet?
Yeah.
Like, it wicks off like fucking AstroTurf.
He would look hilarious if he just went full bald. If he had, like, the horseshoe I'm talking about. Like,
I'd root
for him.
If he
just took the toupee off. I don't remember, like, ever seeing kind of a frumpy, just straight-up bald dude coaching a successful men's basketball team.
Well, I guess Rick Majerus wasn't frumpy. He was just a hoss.
He's a big boy. I have some little nuggets related to your guys over. You don't know what you're going to take yet. 2012, Superdome, New Orleans, semifinals, 130, 126, championship, so 126.
Was that 35 second, though?
What?
35 second shot clock?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we got to look deeper into that.
Low scoring.
Yeah, but that's around where totals were when it was 35 second shot clock.
Fair, yeah. But those are all probably under numbers. But
possibly. I'll look into it.
What awesome alumni do you think we're going to see down there? Do you think we can get Mark Mangino from Kansas?
Well, Mark Mangino, but what about, I mean, everyone's going to be down there. Marty Mush?
Yeah.
Henry Lockwood? Yep. We got the fucking best.
Seinfeld,
Adam Silver, Kevin
Tony
Hart.
Romo.
What team will Kevin Hart pick?
Jason Garrett.
That's a big question.
Kevin Hart's
got a lot of choices.
Whatever team pays him the most money.
Yeah. I could see Kevin Hart showing up in any of the four colors.
I could see JB Smoove showing up.
You know, I think it's going to be a star-studded weekend.
Yeah, MJ will be there, but he's definitely going to just show up like right before tip and like helicopter to his seat out.
Do you think MJ goes out and parties in New Orleans? I feel like he's got like probably a steakhouse or a bar that he owns in every single city.
Well, there's a casino.
Isn't there low-key beef with MJ in Carolina too? Like,
but he was there for the...
Oh yeah, the ceiling is the roof.
Yeah, and he was also there for the finals when Villanova hit the shot. JJ Redick already said that he's going to be there, and he's tweeted he's going to be insufferable this week. I don't know why that's a change from how he usually is. I love JJ. I hate him right now.
But it's athlete. Zion's going to be back in the mix big time because he's in New Orleans.
It's his city. He's right. Hosting it.
Wait, do we know where he is, though? Because even his teammates don't know where he's at. Last I saw from Zion, he was practicing basketball on a court that had trampoline. It was basically a slam ball court.
Yeah.
If you watch the video, either he's so big that he makes the wood bend underneath him, or he's practicing on mini tramps to show people he can still dunk.
It would be funny if he came out and, like, I know there's no coin toss, but if it was just like a pancake or something like that, Zion's just eating. Oh. It's his city. People love him in New Orleans.
You think Jameis is going to be there?
No, he's training.
Yeah,
it's comeback season.
Definitely.
It's big time comeback season. I'm trying to think who else. Paul Rudd, possibly.
He's usually in the mix for sure.
What's his name? Other guy?
Rob Lowe.
Rob Riggle.
Yep.
Will be there. Kansas.
Kirk Heinrich.
Captain Kirk. I would love to get a picture with Captain Kirk. It should be Caleb Presley.
No.
No?
No.
Oh, I feel a lot worse about...
I feel like that's going to change, but as of tonight, it was a no.
Mitch Trubisky?
Yeah, Mitch. Mitch should be there.
Mitch should
not only is he a UNC guy, but he has an enormous track record of success in that building.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's where he won the MVP.
It is. That's MVP.
The MVP is in the building.
Yeah, MVP Mitch. I'm excited, though. This is, I don't know, Jake, you were saying some people said this is a boring Final Four. I think this is one of the most exciting Final Fours.
It's a journalist's dream.
You could, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, also
so
fans
it's boring,
dream.
Boring, yeah.
I would say a fan's dream as well because it's, I mean, all the storylines. And a special fuck you to there's a group of people out there that I've noticed who are like, I don't like Duke, but you got to admit this is really cool.
No,
fucking hate those people. No, I do not. They're like, I don't like Duke, but something about Coach K going out the right way has me like feeling some way.
Okay.
It's like, no, dude, shut up. Then you like Duke. You like Duke.
No, to any sports fan.
No.
I think any rational thinking person who is a fan of sports, a fan of greatness, would feel the same way. Unless you have a personal vendetta against Coach K or Duke.
Which everyone should.
There's no reason why you shouldn't.
Duke
fan. Probably because he beat all their teams.
No.
There's no reason why as a neutral sports fan, you don't look at this story and be like, that's awesome.
All right, Duke is binary. Duke is, if you don't have an opinion about Duke, I don't trust you as a sports fan. Either you love Duke or you hate them. You can't be like, I don't know, I never really had an opinion about Duke.
I do think, though, that this is, it's good for the conversation around it. It's exciting in the sense that everybody feels some type of way about this game that's about to happen.
Yeah, that's fine.
So
but I just
so exciting is one thing, but it's not being like, you know, as somebody who's not a Duke fan, I'm not like pumped that Duke's going to be there.
No,
I'm excited to talk about Duke being there.
Yeah, that's fine.
And I'm excited for like all the trappings that go around it and getting to make fun of Duke and hopefully watch Duke lose there. But that doesn't mean that I'm like, you know what? I can put aside my emotion and just say this is making for excellent copy.
Dude, that actually is happening right now, and I just want to like give a mini speech to all of the Duke haters out there that listen, you've been tortured. This guy has tortured college basketball for 40 years. He's made it all about himself. He's won all these titles. He's gone to 13 Final Fours. He's basically just sucked up all the oxygen of college basketball. Don't let up now. We're right there. We're at the finish line. We have to close ranks. We have to have each other's back. If you hate Duke, continue to hate Duke. Do not, like, just because fucking Mickey Krzyzewski shows up looking kind of hot, don't be like, oh, Coach K, I'm feeling some kind of way about this guy.
Add that to the list, Hank.
Yeah, that's definitely on the list.
Yeah.
That's fine. I did have one guy being like, I could never imagine during Dookie Dan on Saturday, some guy was like, Coach K is one of those guys I could never imagine having sex, and I almost threw up. As I was typing it, I threw it up. I was like, are you kidding me, dude? Mike K fucks like a stallion. And I was like, oh, I can't believe I just tweeted this.
I don't think
I retweeted that one too. For
yeah,
the record.
I don't think he doesn't fuck. He makes love.
But let's just stay focused. Don't let anyone. There's going to be stories written about like, I never really liked Duke, but you got to admit this is really cool for Coach K. And like, wouldn't this be sweet? No, it would not. If you have that moment for like 1 second, slap yourself in the face and realize that he will have this over us forever. And we'll have to watch a documentary, and Duke fans will get to talk about how it was the greatest thing ever. Duke fans have never gotten to go to New Orleans. Like, they haven't gone to New Orleans. They shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah,
no, they're fucking losers.
I don't think that Duke alumni are cool enough to be in New Orleans. I think
anyone need a lawyer this weekend?
Yeah, maybe they represent Tulane, like a Tulane kid that gets arrested for drunk driving his car down Bourbon Street.
I feel really bad for bouncers on Bourbon Street this weekend because they're going to get a lot. I'm a lawyer. My dad's a lawyer. Mm-hmm. Don't put your hands on me.
Yeah, don't get into a fight on Bourbon Street. Not for the usual reasons that you'll get your ass kicked, but because you will face a tremendous lawsuit that will bankrupt you and your family.
I remember when in 2015, I was talking to a bartender, and they're like, if Duke wins, we're making like a fraction of what we should be making on a Final Four weekend. Because, like, no one from Duke's going to party.
Yeah. So, you know how when Clemson goes out...
That happened,
and
Hank.
Their families go to different away games, and they bring $2 bills with them, and they pay
$2
bills.
Were you wearing all your Wisconsin gear?
So that way they can show the impact that they're having on the local community. That's a real thing that Clemson
does.
Yes. Duke is going to be like that, except they're just going to have a bunch of business cards that get put into every single, like, tip container.
And here you cease go. And desist NDAs.
This is better than a tip.
Just passing out NDAs to people on Bourbon Street.
Yeah, it's going to be rough.
Keep the hate up. Hate fuel you.
Another thing to add to the NCAA rigged pile, a first-year head coach has never won a national championship.
Wow, wait.
Who is he playing against?
Kevin Ollie was not first year?
I don't think so. I think he might have been. It also might have been an old article that I read earlier today.
That would be great if the article was like 2010.
Yeah, it could have been.
I don't know. I can't. I know he won very quickly after Jim Calhoun left.
But how awesome,
I don't know if it was one or
how awesome would it be
2012 to 2018.
Okay, so it was
2014.
How awesome would it be if Coach K got beat by a guy named Hubert?
Yeah. I love
Hubert
Davis.
Hubert is such a cool name.
Some podcasts put him on the hot seat this year.
Not us.
I mean, I'll represent the team, but it was an individual. So if you want to go down that road.
I'm excited though. This is going to be great. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Tony Bennett and Hubert Davis both on the hot seat by some individual.
This is what we call biting your tongue.
Jake, you're going to be in the building, right? You're going to be
credentials.
Yes,
covering
the credential.
It as the J.
I'm expecting to be on the roof, but it's going to be unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
Press conferences.
You're going to be at all of them. Can you please ask a question for us?
I think we can negotiate.
Okay.
Like nothing that would make me look embarrassing, but I can be like a little.
Be like, all hey, right. Coach K, some programs are calling you a fucking egomaniac and a piece of shit. Care to comment?
Right.
Coach like, K, what battalion did you serve in Vietnam?
Like something
Coach
along
K,
the lines
take
of.
Take off those fucking camos. We should have Billy do that.
Yeah. Something like, along the lines of there are a lot of people who really, 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 really want to see you fail. What do you have to say to them?
Oh, that would be a good one.
I feel like that's,
I would love that.
Like something along the lines
of
that.
I would love that.
We need to role play because you're going up against a Titan.
Yeah.
And so you need to be able to, you can't, your voice
I got Calipari at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, but Coach K will tell you to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, let's role play. I'll be Coach K, you be Jake Marsh.
Okay.
Yeah, that kid.
Was that Belichick?
That kid in the back.
Hey, Coach, not going to wish him good luck.
Listen, let me tell you something about how to phrase a question. At this
I could introduce myself as a student media member and see if I get a different treatment.
Oh, you
yeah, no,
to
he'll,
him.
He'll fucking have you killed.
He'd
right
sniff
away.
That out in a second.
Ask him, you know what? If you could ask any question, I would like you to ask, hey, Coach K, unassailable legacy, Hall of Famer, greatest coach of all time, could you at least dedicate this Final Four to Pete Gaudette and see what he would say? That would be nice.
I think the first one's more realistic.
Ah,
about
come on,
the failure.
Jake. It'd be great if he was like at the end was just maybe that would actually that might be the one thing that would make me feel 1% less hate if he was like if he won it and cut down the nets. He's like, and really, who should have been here is Pete Gaudette because I fucking screwed that guy over and ruined his career.
He should at least give a portion of the net or share a title with
him.
Yeah.
And if you know that if he loses, it's just going to be a it's going to be like Duke's plane and hotel bill sent to Pete Garnett's house.
Yeah, that question that I pose is more of like a Friday afternoon media day question than post game, because post game you're really walking on eggshells, especially if they lose.
Yeah,
if they win, maybe.
No, if they lose, I want you to go all in.
That's the thing.
Yeah, I want you to go all in. Be like Coach K.
His final press conference.
If he lost
ever.
To UNC, be like, Coach K, many people are saying that this completely ruins your entire legacy and all of your losses are now magnified even more. Care to comment?
Well, we'll see.
All right.
Play okay, by we'll work it we out. Have all week we'll to talk
out.
About
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we'll work it out.
But I'm excited.
We'll
out. Fortunate.
Yeah, this is going to be great. It's going to be a great Final Four.
This is a Final Four that is just dreamt up in a journalist's wet dream.
Watch
like
it
beyond
be
your possible
wet
dream. God, I hope
yeah,
that
you still have the whole
what?
Week.
You know what, though? This is like in the playoffs. Remember the first week of the NFL playoffs this
yeah.
year that sucked?
Yes.
That's what today was. That's what yesterday was for us. That just means that the next round of games are going to be fucking awesome.
Yeah, no, these are the four teams that are playing the best. You can't argue against it. I saw people saying like, oh, UNC, they're the 8 seed. They were on the bubble. UNC beat two teams from the Final Four last year. They beat the national championship, and the other two games they won by 52 combined points. They're balling right now.
Yes.
Please, UNC. I need you, UNC.
I mean, I'm telling you, it would be the perfect storybook ending for every Duke hater in the world if UNC took them out twice at Coach K Suckfest Night.
I'd
and
be
then
so
at,
happy.
At Coach K Suckfest Night Volume 2.
It would be, oh my God, what a night. Hank, drinks on me if that happens for the rest of the night.
Awesome.
Yeah, we'll have such a great time. If you're going to the game. I don't know if you're going.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Shout out to Game Time. Maybe,
yes.
Maybe they'll help it out.
Game Time will get us all in the building. Just depends on where we'll be sitting.
Okay, emergency breaking news. We had finished the podcast. We were all home. We are all home. And Will Smith slapped Chris Rock at the Oscars. And I think it at least got the job done that we all tuned into the Oscars. I guess we should start. Are we all team real?
Well, can you explain to maybe people who probably also
okay,
didn't watch
I'll explain,
the Oscars?
Yes. For people who did not watch the Oscars, Chris Rock made a joke about Jada Pinkett, Will Smith's wife. He made a joke that he is looking forward to Jada Pinkett being in G.I. Jane 2. Jada Pinkett has alopecia. She's talked about it. She can't grow hair on her head, so she's bald. So it was the G.I. Jane Marine joke, whatever. Will Smith laughed, then looked at Jada Pinkett, big wife guy energy, saw his wife being like, no, that's not funny, stood up, walked up to Chris Rock, open hand slapped him in the face, went back to his seat, and then screamed, keep my wife's name out of your mouth twice, and now everyone's deciding whether it's real or fake. Go ahead, PFT.
Okay, so I think that we can see it both ways. We still have to learn for some facts to come out here. I personally am team real. I think it's very real. But if you were to make the argument that's team fake, there are some things that line up for that, right? One, it's the Oscars. They're literally the best actors in the world in that room, Chris Rock included. Their ratings have been lower than probably they've ever been in the past. So they need a little bit of a goose. It's like a little WWE energy. Item number three, Chris Rock weighs like 70 pounds and he kept his pivot foot. If you watch the slap, his body just moves. His pivot foot stays down. So that you could make the argument that, yes, it's just engineered for people to tune in. Yeah.
Okay. Can I throw some reels out there?
Well, I think it's real. So the reel is like, I think a lot of us have probably been in a position next to what Will Smith is dealing with. He's like laughing. Okay, good joke. You got me good. He looks over, he sees his wife. She did not think it was a good joke. She was very upset. And Will Smith also had to sit through some jokes about their open marriage at the start of the show too. And he's like, fuck, if I don't do anything, she's definitely going to cheat on me again. Like Will Smith has the cuck energy of always having that chip on his shoulder. So he's like, I got to get up and I got to hit him. I got to be, like you said, a good wife guy. And yeah. I also think he would have done a much better job acting if it was fake instead of like sitting down and looking flustered afterwards.
Also, Will Smith's a crazy person and Jada Pinkett Smith's a crazy person. I'm pretty sure they're Scientologists, or at least enough that they've had to like openly deny being Scientologists at multiple times in their career, which like if you have to say I'm not a Scientologist, you're a Scientologist. That's the test right there. You definitely are a Scientologist. I also think like Will Smith, like he just lost it. He lost his cool. His speech, the best part about it, if you didn't watch the Oscars, Will Smith was the favorite to win Best Actor. He wins Best Actor. He goes up and gives a speech where he's like pretty much like, Richard Williams, Serena and Venus's dad, he protected his family. Love will make you do crazy things. Never actually like thanking Jada Pinkett Smith or acknowledging that he slapped Chris Rock like overt. Like he never said like, sorry, Chris Rock. He just basically did this long speech where he was like, yeah, I protect my loved ones against innocuous jokes at the Oscars by comedians.
Yeah, no, he's doing the I'm a good husband thing. He's trying to get laid. He's getting laid right now. As you hear the sound of my voice, Will Smith better be having sex, probably the best sex of his life. I think that anytime something like that happens in a public place where two people get into a skirmish and then they're still in the room, the entire room is going to be thinking about that for the rest of the night. They had to have gotten up on stage and they had to fight. They should have fought, like actually had.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Posture, not just like because you actually think someone's going to attack you, but like, oh, someone comes up. You're like, oh, look who it is. You do something with your hands. The whole time Chris Rock had his hands behind his back. And when he got slapped, you know, he was just totally open. Like no one, when they're reacting to something unexpected, makes any sort of just nonchalant, doesn't do anything. Like even
Counterpoint, Billy. I have a counterpoint because he probably didn't expect to get slapped. I think it's a pretty simple explanation. He saw a famous comedian, actor, celebrity coming up on stage, probably someone that he's relatively friendly with in the past, and thought, oh, here comes Will Smith, the consummate showman. He's going to come up, make a joke at my expense. We'll laugh, hug each other out, and then he'll go back to his seat. So that's so why he might he probably wasn't ready to fight.
Can I ask, because I had to go, I had to corral Stella. I have a question for you, Billy. So you, Billy and Hank, you both think it's fake. Did you guys watch the extended clip where Chris Rock was positively rattled after?
Yeah. So this is, I do come from the camp of like fake until proven real. Obviously the Oscars thing that PFT mentioned earlier, like if, you know, the ratings are horrible, absolutely all time low. If there's two people you want to get a buzz going, who are the two people at the top of that list? Chris Rock, Will Smith. I have to digest some more of this afterwards. And I think obviously we'll be able to see what they say afterwards. And you know, the people close to them will be able to confirm or deny it. But I lean fake. I lean fake.
I love that in Hank's mind, the two biggest names in show business are Will Smith and Chris Rock.
They both move the needle.
What year are we in right now? Is this, if it was 1998, and I would be like, yeah, you know what, Hank's, this is obviously, Hank is, I mean,
literally just won Best Actor in 2022. Like, that's pretty relevant, I would say.
No, I'm not saying he's irrelevant. I'm just saying, like, I don't think, I think that you're being a little bit too woke on this, Hank.
No, yes, it's like, who?
The order of people.
I also, disclosure, I've only seen it on Twitter. I wasn't watching.
We could look like idiots, PFT, I could look like idiots by saying that it's real, but I watching all the context and like seeing everything, this would be the greatest work of all time. The only people right now who are like worse online, because the people who are like, this is fake, you guys are idiots, are the people who are saying that Will Smith should go to jail, including our colleague Stephen Che, who is like, Chris Rock should press charges. I want anyone who actually thinks that Chris Rock should press charges to go to jail themselves. I want them to go to jail.
It's big time Skeleban energy.
Quick question.
It is. It would be the lamest thing in the history of modern media if Chris Rock were to like go immediately to the police,
right?
File a report on him. I know. I can speak for myself. I don't know if I can speak for everybody else in this podcast. We have never once advocated for anybody to go to jail over something trivial like this.
No.
Quick piece of evidence on.
Wait, Billy. I just real quick, because I saw Jake out of the corner of my eye nodding along. Jake, you definitely think Will Smith should go to jail for this, right?
No, not at all. I think it's real. If I'm the tie-breaking vote, by the way.
Okay, I like it. Go ahead, Bill.
So you do, Jake.
What the fuck, Hank? Your brain is riddled by the internet, Hank. You have fucking Swiss cheese brain.
That's true.
If you go to Will Smith's TikTok, he says that him and Jada are dressed for chaos before the Oscars even happened. They put that on TikTok. So, I mean, this is 100% chaos, and that's just more evidence that points to it being fake.
Everything is going to determine on Will Smith and Chris Rock's relationship. Like, if there's a story that they've had beef and it's been like something that's been brewing for a while, then it's real. If it's like comes across like they've been friends for a long time from show business and stuff, then I'm saying fake.
It is.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like if it's like it could be deeper than just tonight. But if it's like they're friends and that was the only thing that set them off, like there's no way.
If you look at the sheer physics of the situation, you've got Will Smith played Muhammad Ali, big guy, played the best boxer of all time, got up on stage, slapped, and it was a slap, but it was like a full force slap. He had hip rotation, he planted, he extended. Billy will tell you all about it. He was in war mode. He slapped him. Chris Rock is such a small guy that he had to play a character in The Longest Yard that wasn't allowed to play football with Adam Sandler. So he's a small dude, and he didn't even move really. Like he ate that like a champ. Chris Rock has a jaw of steel. Unbelievable performance by Chris Rock, if it was real. I think that if you look at the emotion, the way that the two of them reacted in the immediate aftermath, and then you've got like Tyler Perry and Denzel Washington
actors, dude.
So are they?
No, but that's the point, Hank. The immediate aftermath of Chris Rock is why I think it's real. He started like he was shocked, and then he said it was I think it was the Oscar for best documentary. By the way, that person who won it, like, sorry, dude, like you're the biggest moment of your life. Completely stolen. That sucks. But he was like, we're going to give out some documentaries. And then he caught himself. He's like, we're going to give out the Oscar for the best documentary. Like he was rattled, fully rattled.
Big winner of the night was whoever had the nip slip right after. No one's going to talk about that.
Didn't even see that.
I just saw it on Twitter.
Bonk. Yep. Put it
on
the list.
I didn't see it. I saw it on Twitter.
Right. What were you going to say, Jake?
So the reason I think it's real is, did you guys see that viral video of the commercial break and then like calming him down?
Yes. Yes.
So that wasn't on camera.
That wasn't on camera, Hank. Denzel Washington and a couple other people were like trying to calm him down.
How'd you see it then?
What?
It wasn't on the broadcast.
It was someone in the stands had taken the video. I mean, this is, I guess this will look stupid, PFT, Jake, and I, if this turns out to be fake. The problem is if it, you guys can basically play it's real for or it's fake forever.
No, I have said my criteria. It is entirely dependent on like their relationship leading up to this night, which we'll find out about tomorrow. I'll admit I was wrong.
But. Also, remember, like Will Smith's in an open relationship with Jada Pinkett Smith, right? Like they have a very like we've all talked about it. This is like open relationships are always bullshit because of this. Like he probably is like, well, I gotta do something, otherwise someone else is gonna have sex with her tonight.
No, that's what I'm saying. He is the most publicly cucked celebrity of all time. And so you saw his face when she was talking about the entanglement thing. He was like, yeah, we both discussed about this. And we both think it's a good thing that she's allowed to sleep with my friends. No, like it's not. He's upset about it. And he knows that he has to be on his A game at all times or else somebody else is going to take her home. So he's like, okay, she's upset. Then I'm upset. There we go. I'm husband of the year. I did it, babe.
Also, shout out. This moment was so great because it was literally like right when I walked in my house and I got like a bunch of texts being like, was that real? Like I'm the fucking, you guys probably have the same thing. Like as online people and people who watch like things all the time, people always like hit me up to be like, yo, is this thing that just happened real or not? It's like, how would I know? But so I get like a ton of texts being like, is that real? And I start watching it and like I was like, oh my god, I think this actually is real. I think this is all actually going down. And I go on Twitter, and Twitter is just like Twitter 1.0. Awesome. Everyone getting their jokes off. We had like 15-20 minutes where it was like, oh yeah, I love this app. This is funny. Like, everyone's just getting funny jokes off, retweet, like, all this stuff. And then, like, 25 minutes after that, it's just toxic masculinity run rampant yet again. No. Super serious takes about this incident. It's like, dude, it was like, it's fucking Hollywood. It's a bunch of narcissists sitting in a room. One guy made a joke about another guy's wife. He slapped him. Can we just make some jokes about it instead of having this become like a bigger discussion in the discourse?
Yeah. What Hank's doing right now, he's doing Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences rigged. He's like the first guy that's like, this is all fake. I'd stage. I can't tell whether it's for money or for ratings, but that's it. I saw it in person. I'm out.
Yeah, but no, that, yeah. So those people, it's the people who are saying go to jail, and it's the people who are like actually having like nuanced takes about this, like being like, this is what's wrong with like the marital structure in America, and like a man thinking he has to protect. Like, dude, just let me just fucking tweet some GIFs real quick. Come on, like, just give us a minute. Do it tomorrow morning on Monday morning when we're all miserable.
Yeah, Billy, do you have any more takes on this? Since you are there, you're in the room. You are the room. Right now.
Yes. So I was at the Oscars, and when I saw Denzel Washington talking to Will Smith and them all trying to calm him down, they were just asking him, was it real? And he was like laughing, and he was like, hey, no, it was fake. Like, we set this whole thing up. Wasn't it great? And they're all laughing. So that's what I saw.
You heard that. Did you see that or did you hear it? It's a big difference.
I saw the mouths moving, I'm at the Oscars. It was a great time. And no, but seriously, we were talking about this during the show when we were recording. I was like, oh, the Oscars are on tonight. Like, who the hell knew? And now, you know, now we know.
This is why you come to Part of My Take, because PFT and I have been around the block a few times. We usually have a good idea of what's real and fake. Again, we could be very wrong. Hank, I trust that Hank will do some research and try to figure it out. And then we have Billy, who is like the embodiment of 2022 internet, where it could Chris Rock could press charges. Will Smith could go to jail, and Billy will still think like, no, this is some kind of pedophile ring cover up. And JFK Jr. is about to be announced president.
Honestly, I fall for a lot of fake stuff on the internet, and this is one of those ones where I'm just like, fake.
You feel like you're ahead of the curve. I have one last question, the most important question. Memes, I don't know if you have a mic. Memes has been on the show before. Memes, obviously, everyone knows, runs a bunch of our social and does an incredible job, and we talk about them all the time. Memes, can you quantify what this is going to do for your life in terms of the memes that are coming out of this? Like, you just got an entire new memes template, a perfect memes template that you can use for anything. How are you feeling?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
All right. I think it'll last like one more day.
Yep.
And then it'll pick back up probably during NBA finals.
Yep. No, I think that's perfect, because people that are going to be making memes out of this in like 3 or 4 days, too many people have seen it. So it's already reached like mass exposure. So the countdown clock on it is finite. So like when Michael Jordan cried during his Hall of Fame acceptance speech, not a lot of people were tuned in live. And so it had a longer tail on it. This one, it's like, okay, everyone's seeing it tonight and tomorrow. And then after that, it's going to take a big pause. I was thinking actually until football season, but when Meme said NBA finals, he's absolutely right. The NBA finals are 100% going to be ground zero for this meme to resurrect.
Yes. Yes. All right. Memes. That's why you're the best. Anything else? I mean, crazy. We don't do emergency segments for many things, but when Will Smith slaps Chris Rock at the Oscars, real or fake, here we are. We're making sure that we give you our takes instantly.
We'll put another one in the it's real category, because I don't think that Will Smith would do this on the night that he won his Academy Award for Best Actor. That seems like a pretty important night in a person's life. So I don't think that he would flip out like this on that evening. And there's no chance. No, I'm putting it at zero. PFT commenter gives it 0% chance of being a fugazi. This was a real event.
I'm going to put it a 1% chance of being fake, but that's solely because all of life is fake and we're all living in a simulation. If that's true, then this is part of that. And then I was right to call that part, but I'm 99%.
And in that event, Whoa. It's still real to me. It's still real to me, Big Cat.
What? All right. So then, Jake, you're 100%.
Are you looking for relief, relaxation, or to party on the motherfucking moon? Then check out 3Chi's new True Strains lineup of cannabis vapes and gummies tailored for specific effects. And the best part? It's delivered straight to your door. Visit 3Chi.com. That's 3Chi.com. And for a limited time, get 20% off with the code BARSTOOL20.
Also, one last thing, the sports take on this, I felt pretty bad for Venus and Serena because they looked like, what the fuck is going on? And Will Smith basically got in front of everyone and was like, yeah, I played the role of their father, and that's why I'm crazy, and slapped a man on live TV.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, I guess. Cool.
Also, Willow's going to have a couple bangers that come out in the next, like, 2 months.
Yeah.
And Jaden. Yes.
All right, back to the regularly scheduled program.
All right, let's do Who's Back. Who's Back is brought to you by our friends at Venmo. We love Venmo. We're a Venmo podcast now, and Venmo's hooking it up. When you're paying friends this basketball season, make sure you use Venmo. No one wants to be that guy, whether it's tickets to the game or wings for the viewing party. Pay friends back quickly, easily, and safely with Venmo. If you're going to New Orleans this weekend, you're probably going with some friends. You're probably going to get some drinks. You're probably going to get some dinners. You're probably going to get tickets. Venmo is a great way to pay back your friends, so you don't have to do that thing where you're haggling and splitting checks. Don't be the split the check guy. Someone just get it and everyone figure it out later. Also, if you haven't already downloaded the Venmo app, use promo code PMT. When you sign up, you get $10 for free. $10 for free. And reminder, we're giving out $100,000 to AWLs throughout all basketball season. Send a Venmo payment for any amount and include hashtag PMT in the payment note for a chance to win up to $500. If you win, your screenshot your winnings, post it to Twitter or Instagram and tag Pardon My Take. So do that. Any transaction you send, use hashtag PMT. They're giving away up to $500 for that. Make sure you tweet us that with a screenshot and download the Venmo app. Put in that code PMT. You get $10. If you haven't signed up, $10, boom, right away. Get yourself a beer in New Orleans. All right, Hank, who's back? By the way, we're going to do Billy's spreadsheet after who's after Bert, as well as Jake's one shining moment, as well as Hank's decision about what he's going to do with the hottest gambling streak he's ever been on in his life.
Big time. Shout out to the game of the year. Just kicking things off right. Well, Duke.
You're welcome.
Duke, then game of the year.
You're welcome.
Which
the that.
Both that, game of the years.
Well, no, that one didn't count because you bullied me into it.
True. My Who's Back of the Week.
Clip all, that for me,
yeah.
Bubba.
Yeah. Peace times. My Who's Back
no,
of the Week.
No, it is not. It's war times. I hate you.
Well, I would say you shouldn't have fell for my obvious trying to get you to pick against Duke. But
all right, cut that, please,
Nick
Bubba.
Castellanos is my Who's Back of the Week.
Mm.
Did you guys see this?
We had a discussion, so we'd to hear you talk, and then we will present our side.
I'm just going to say what happened. He's on the Phillies now. He's in spring training. As he was in his first at-batter, he was getting his first hit. The broadcast was talking about how one of the Blue Jays coaches got a DUI and was like talking about his apology, talking about the whole situation, and lo and behold, Nick Castellanos gets a single.
Okay, so I think it's funny because they were actually talking, like the announcer was talking about the DUI while it happened, but we have to be protective of our Castellanos memes because it can reach a point where a bloop single
right.
is qualifying the exact same
he's
as
gotta
if he
hit
hits
a home
dinger.
Run. He's got to hit a home
but
run.
How often are they talking about coaches with Deweys?
He's probably doing it. First of all, he probably brought it up because what? Castellanos was up.
True. And also Major League Baseball coaches, I'm pretty sure like that's one of the qualifications for becoming a bench coach. It's like how many...
That's how Tony La Russa got into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Like talking about, I think the criteria is like a fucked up situation that the announcers are talking about, and then all of a sudden they have to talk about how Castellanos got
a
hit.
I think the home you have to have a home run, and it can't be a situation where somebody like sees that he hits a home run, and then they Google like any bad news story that's
right.
happened. Like, oh wow, it looks like Putin's shelling Kiev again, and they're like, well, Castellanos did it again. You know, like it has to be something that is tied in either a massive trending event that happens at the same time, or the announcer is talking about something that hits a home run.
Well, that's right. Why we do spring training, so we can kind of get through this
also
before the season
training,
starts.
Yeah.
But, like, is he back or no?
I think what we're trying to say is, like, I think it's very funny that Nick Castellanos has become this guy. I want to protect it. I want it to be like, holy shit, he's this guy. if we do it for every single, it's like everyone's going to be like,
as they're talking about a DUI. It was funny.
Okay.
Fine. It was funny, but I just want to make sure that we are protecting it. That we're keeping our meme wholesome.
Yeah. I mean, memes. Think about memes.
He's too far gone.
Yeah, memes, he is.
But memes is like...
He's still in rehab, but I think he relapses like every other day.
Right now for memes, it's like if Joe Flacco throws like a 3-yard button hook. I'm like, elite. If they say Castellanos like 3 times in a broadcast.
Yeah, like, we can't save memes. We can just try and, you know, help the next generation coming up.
It is funny when you do a meme that like that has been around for a while that no one remembers. I had Bo Nix was like practicing for Oregon, and I quote tweeted, I was like, Bo Nix having fun could be a dark horse for the Heisman, and people are like, are you fucking high, dude? And it's like, oh shit. Yeah, we are on the internet too much.
Yeah. Remember when we had to teach memes about the Hitler downfall video with Urban Meyer?
Oh, yeah.
He was like, what is this? Yeah. I've never seen this old meme.
He hasn't stopped making Hitler videos since.
I actually, hand up, I told him that he should do a video where you're Hitler after Coach K, after Coach K won. But then we both agreed that probably not a great idea.
I'm fine with that. Listen, here's all I'll say about that. I understand the internet. I have a fucking arsenal in my phone right now for when Coach K eventually, hopefully, loses. So I understand that the other side is also loading up the guns and the nukes ready to bring me down. I know what's at stake here.
Yeah, how about this? Memes, I know you're listening. If Coach K wins a natty, you have to have Big Cat finding out about it down in the bunker.
Yes, that's fine. I'm fine with that. I am absolutely fine with it. Because, again, I have a lot of videos that I will be just fucking flooding the timeline with if it goes down.
My who's back of the week is the U.S. men's national team.
Yes.
We're in the World Cup, bitch. Suck my dick, Italy. They didn't make it. We did. We just beat Panama, I think, 5-1
tonight. Yeah.
Didn't keep the clean sheet, unfortunately. The golden generation for the U.S. soccer team is here. I just hear people say that. It sounds so cool when they said it about Belgium. So I think we can officially declare, because this team is young enough, I'm just going to say this is our golden generation. This is the golden generation, and the boys are dancing.
Yeah, we're in it, and we're going to have to play it during football season.
That I can't decide if it's going to be fun or if it's going to suck.
I think it's going to suck.
It might be too much going on
I
at
think
once.
We're going to get
We're not going to fucking get out of pool play anyway, yeah. So who cares?
But I think it's going to be...
We always get out of pool
play. We're going to go like 1-2.
When we make the World Cup,
fucking do.
We always get out of pool play.
All right, so here's what we can do. We're going to role play right now.
FIFA rigged.
What time will the games be? They'll be at... In the middle of the day.
Yep.
Because I think they got to play at night there.
Well, yeah. No, it's in Qatar, which is halfway around the world. But because they have stadiums that were built with slave labor, they're not going to be able to play them during the heat of the day, which is like 120 degrees.
Right.
And they promised that they would make like giant air-conditioned stadiums outdoors, which I don't know. I'm not Bob the Builder, but it seems like that's pretty unlikely to accomplish in the next like 6 months.
Correct.
So, yeah, their games are going to be at nighttime, afternoon and night, I think.
Yeah, so let's just throw this out there. It's Sunday. We're here. We're watching games. You say, hey, USA's about to play. You're not getting a TV. And I'll watch the games. I'll watch every other – like when football's not on, I'll be full-blown Pulisic, fucking go USA – But we have to – you realize that, right?
I do, and I'm actually looking up the times right now. We might be wrong. So right now it's 4:13 in Qatar in the morning. So if they play in the afternoon, like evening, that's still going to be kind of morning for us. So I think we'll be okay as long as they don't schedule us on a –
Wait, how many hours difference is it?
It's Monday at 4:13. It's 9:13 here.
So it's here. 7 hours difference.
7 hours ahead.
So a 1 o'clock kickoff.
If you schedule, I want to talk to Sepp Blatter personally right now. Sepp Blatter or whoever you have running FIFA for you, Sepp Blatter. If you schedule the U.S. soccer game on a Sunday at 1 o'clock,
Saturday,
I will personally slit your throat.
That is not going to happen. Like we're not. That is going to be a war on Twitter. I want to see all the soccer nerds come out and be like, "How are you not watching this? Because the NFL's on. Because it's week 12."
That's going to piss me right off.
I mean, you can't. I just want you to. We're all on the same page, right? Maybe a laptop in the corner.
Yes.
but not a TV.
On a Sunday.
We have to have.
On a Saturday.
We have to stand for something on
a Saturday.
Podcast.
If the U.S. is playing, I'm putting it on one of the TVs during college football.
I'm not.
There are not six college football games that take
precedence.
Dude,
when Temple plays UCF, I'm watching. That's better than that.
Nope. I'm rooting for the lads. Onward the lads.
Yes. That is. We are.
Lads up.
Wow. That's going to be a dilemma. All right. By whose back is LeBron? He won a Razzie. That was awesome. Also, Hank, explain the story, the Instagram story from the other night. Hank, you know that LeBron fucked up when Hank walked in on Saturday and like came right over to me. It was like, you see what LeBron posted?
It wasn't a fuck up.
And I went to look and I couldn't find it. And he's like, oh, I screen recorded it. Don't worry. And
we're like, that's. I just
but it was
tweet.
It was a good moment because we're in war times right now, but we can always bond over our hatred for LeBron.
It was just it wasn't even fuck up. It was just all time very funny classic LeBron. Like, you know, he's the biggest athlete in the world, probably richest athlete in the world, one of them, and he's having like a intimate dinner with his wife, and he does this Instagram story where she's like clearly pissed off that he's like recording, which is just like very relatable, and he said, hey, fellas, remember one thing. I just think this is funny because he's like clearly like drunk or something. Like, this is very classic LeBron. Hey, fellas, remember one thing. A woman will always love and vibe with a real true player. Know the difference between playa and player.
Ooh.
With a key. And then like I'll send it to you, PFT. And then he like pans it over to his wife, and his wife just gives him like the, why the fuck are you recording?
Well, because that's what LeBron's family has to deal with all the time.
It's so funny.
Actions of a drunk man stumbling around his own home, screaming into his phone while they're like, hey, please pay attention to me.
Yeah, that's amazing.
How long do you think it took for LeBron to win the Razzie for him to realize that the Razzie's a bad thing?
Yeah.
Did he have the post ready to go like, man, 17-year-old LeBron would never believe
thought,
this at this point?
He probably is going to try to figure out a way to like convert it into points scored in the NBA so that, because that's all he's playing for,
I mean,
at this point.
The all-time days for LeBron on Instagram are on his birthday, when he just, if you look at his stories, I think LeBron has like a special version of Instagram that allows him to post hundreds of stories of people wishing him a happy birthday on those days.
Right.
I've never.
No joke, I think I might have a cane sauce problem. I was at Raising Cane's the other day getting my box combo with extra sauce on the side like usual. I have an order. When I eat my Cane's, it goes crinkle cut fries, chicken fingers, the Texas toast, and finish strong with the slaw. So I start eating, and before I know it, I'm scraping the bottom of my sauce, and I wasn't even done with my fries yet. This habit is escalating, and I'm 100% here for it. Dip into Cane's. Get extra sauce for me, please.
Awesome. Well, anyone could lose to the Pelicans, okay? Anyone could lose the Pelicans. They're playing really good basketball right now. Bulls are in a free fall.
14 points in the fourth.
Got smoked by the Pelicans the other night. All right, Billy, you're who's back.
My who's back is Johnny Manziel.
Ooh.
Johnny Manziel will be returning to the football field in the fan-controlled football league for their second season. He was on the Zappers last season, and he is now on the Wild Aces. Drewski's investment in the company is what drew him in. He said that he wanted to make some content with Drewski. I don't know if you guys know Drewski. Mm-hmm. Hilarious guy. And he's going to be back on the football field. Honestly, it's kind of nice to see him.
Dude, if you tell me Johnny Manziel's playing in a football game and there's a World Cup game on, I'm watching Johnny Manziel.
There are certain players that if you want your secondary football league to succeed, if you get any combination of like Manziel, Tebow, RG3, or Colin Kaepernick playing mm-hmm. quarterback, people will tune in and watch that shit.
Yeah.
So good for Johnny Manziel. I hope he plays well.
I'm hyped. And Bitcoin. Bitcoin's back.
It is?
Rallied hard.
Let's go.
Are you invested?
A little bit.
How's my Doge looking right now?
I think it's like back to like...
Oh, shit. 46.
Yeah.
Oh, let's go. Fuck all the old people think that sucks.
Yeah. Tom Colicchio laughing all the way to the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. There he goes. All right, Jake, you're who's back. We're going to get to Billy's spreadsheet after Bert.
My who's back of the week is Fun Rules.
Oh, yes. Let's
so
go, Jake.
There's this team called the Savannah Bananas.
Yes.
It's a baseball team. I don't think it's officially minor league, but it's still pros.
Unincorporated, independent minor league team, yeah.
Yeah, so they had a rule. It was the first or second time ever. Banana ball rule number 9. If a fan catches a foul ball, it's an out. And it happened, and it went viral, and it was really cool. I feel like the majors should consider.
They've got great rules. I don't know. I don't know what brand of baseball they play. If they invented their own rules, in which case, probably a nightmare for the visiting team. It's like you're playing against the Globetrotters, and you're like, I didn't know wait, that guy's got a ladder on the court. That's crazy. But yeah, they've got all these different rules. I think the batters are in the batter's box the entire time while the pitcher's pitching. They've got all sorts of cool rules. I like
it a lot. So this one's, if they did that to the majors, that'd be, that would change the game with home field.
I mean, incredible. I mean, Savannah, what they're doing right now by having this team down there is they're next on my list of like the big bachelor party cities in the country. Mm-hmm. And for a while, it was like Austin and Nashville and Charleston just shitting on everybody. Mm-hmm. Savannah's next. Savannah's a very fun city to be in.
It is a very fun city. And could you imagine if this, like you said, if this was MLB, like you'd have to start, like Jim Harbaugh would get paid by a team.
Yeah.
Be like $1 million mm-hmm. sitting in our stands.
Yeah, pay Ringers, foul
Dude,
ball
foul
guy.
Foul ball guy would make millions and millions of dollars.
You would be on contract, yeah.
It would be incredible.
You'd be able to start him in your fantasy leagues.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, thought that was cool.
That is cool. Yeah. Very cool.
Cool rule.
All right, let's get to Bert. Great interview. Back in studio. PFT, you got a quick word from one of our sponsors?
Yeah, before we get to Bert, talk to you guys about TaylorMade. Hank just got a TaylorMade. You got a driver, right, Hank?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, TaylorMade is awesome. They're great golf clubs. It's golf season. Weather's getting nice. Spring was creeping up on us.
You should get fitted, PFT.
I should get fitted. Get one of those custom things? Hell yeah, because they don't just send you clubs off the rack. I think there are five different levels of customization that you can use for them. And we are teaming up with TaylorMade because we have an ultimate season opener sweepstakes and giving away 50 prizes to 50 different winners. That's right, 50 different winners. Prizes include everything from a grand prize, full bag of new TaylorMade clubs, to a new stealth driver, to TPX golf balls, and everything in between. So now between May 10th, go to TaylorMadeGolf.com/barstoolsweeps. You can enter and celebrate the season's first major and the unofficial start to the golf season. The sweeps is running across a number of podcasts within the Barstool Network, and we want our loyal followers to win. We want an AWL to win. Or a mobster. Right, Jake, those are your guys?
Yep. They are,
the
mobsters.
It's got to be a mobster.
Shout out Nate Oates.
Or an AWL. Yeah, Nate Oates, big-time mobster. Hopefully he can get his hand. He's got a lot of time to play golf.
Well, hopefully off-season. Someone shows up to shoot around.
He's probably got a tee time that he's scheduled for the second weekend. Mm-hmm. So check out TaylorMade.
Second day!
Check out TaylorMade. You can make this golf season better and fill your bag with the best. Of course, that's TaylorMade. Go to TaylorMadeGolf.com/barstoolsweeps right now for your chance to win big. That's TaylorMadeGolf.com/barstoolsweeps right now for your chance to win big. Now here is Bert Kreischer.
Okay, we now welcome on now recurring guest.
Ah, that feels good.
Feels good, Bert Kreischer.
Feels good.
And let me say this right now, Bert, off the top. We very rarely will have a guest on this close together. Like, we had you on at Super Bowl. We didn't run it for a couple weeks. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
That was probably weird for you. Like, all of a sudden, it pops up that you're on the show.
I'll tell you immediately. Immediately it came up. And the thing was like, and then my daughter smoked pot. And I was like, oh, fuck, I said that?
Yeah, right. Like, oh, shit, I said that 2 weeks ago. That doesn't count. And then your name came up again, and then you were in town. And we're like, fuck yeah, we'll have him back on. Everyone loved it. So,
dude, it's serendipity because I have been watching you gamble for, like, the past 2 weeks. And it is so fucking fun.
It is
so fun to watch people win money.
Yeah, or lose.
Well, it's really the losing part that people really enjoy.
No, I love when you guys were trying to get Patty to tap,
yep.
And you're going, come on, come on, come on. That's like watching porn for men.
Yes.
That's, or I guess porn for men. They should mash up gambling and porn at the same time somehow.
I'm down for it. It's like those live streams, they're exhausting. We were. I don't know if you saw on Friday night, my alma mater, Wisconsin, played, and they played – it was probably the latest tip ever. It was like 11 p.m.
Yeah.
So I just started getting like blackout drunk and I was screaming. I was going to take my shirt off. Like those live streams just become this. You lose all sense of time and space because you're trapped. You don't even go out. I didn't go outside for 4 days straight and I'm just, you know, betting on everything. It's my favorite 4 days of the year. I'm happy you enjoy it, but it is chaos. You got to come to one.
I have a gambling problem, but here's my problem.
What do you mean?
Well, when I started making money, gambling didn't matter to me. Like, it just didn't. I couldn't find the rush, you know?
Right.
Like, the rush, I remember the first time I really got the rush, I was playing poker with Daniel Tosh and a bunch of guys in Hollywood. And I had the best fucking hand. And I was sitting on it. And the feeling that you get, I didn't need alcohol, I didn't need sex, I didn't need anything. That feeling of knowing you've got the hand and your heart's racing, your hand's trembling, you're trying to hold it in. The only way I get that now, and this is going to sound so stupid, is...
As the official golf cart of the Barstool Classic, Easy Go golf carts are built to perform. Built to outlast... and built for a smooth ride even in the deepest rough. Whether you're on the course or out on the town, with Easy Go, it's good to go. For a limited time, request a quote with code BARSTOOL to get $1,000 off a new 2024 golf cart at easygo.com. One more time, that's $1,000 off with code BARSTOOL at easygo.com when you request a quote.
I just start winning. And when I win, I get louder and more obnoxious. And all the comedians are fucking loving it. Jim Jeffries is losing his mind. Ben Bailey, but the actors who aren't comedians are like, this isn't fair.
Yeah, it's
like,
rigged.
It's a fucking raffle, asshole. I put in fucking $3,000 for this feeling. Yes. I mean, I won an orange whip, which is a golf swing thing. I won a jacket. I won whiskey. I won everything.
That's amazing.
And then... don't get me started on an auction where they're bidding off trips. Because my business manager was there. Randomly enough, my business manager was there. And they auctioned off a trip to Four Seasons in Maui. It's in the quarantine. There's no one. No one's going to more Maui at all. And I start off there. Jim Jeffries starts off. He's like, the starting bid's $3,000. And Jim Jeffries goes, $3,000. And real quick, I go, $4,000. And then he goes, $5,000. I go, $6,000. He's like, $7,000. And then Ben Bailey goes, $8,000. I go, $9,000. And it's going so quick. My business manager's like, hold on. And I'm starting to, what's the math? What's it cost? Someone Google Four Seasons real quick. Dude, I love that. Yes. I love the reckless. That is the gambling I can get into.
Yeah, so I went to the Texas State Fair one time, and they do like a giant livestock auction. It's a big thing. And it's just all these dude huge hats. The guy gets behind the podium, and he's doing the, like, fast talking. He's got the real Texas drawl. They're bringing the animals out on stage. There's, like, giant black Angus steer that are going for, you know, $5,500. I was about to bid on a cow. I don't have a place to put it. I wanted to get involved in the auction at the time. I had, like, a normal-sized backyard in Austin, Texas. Yeah. And I was thinking about buying these goats just because the thrill of the auctioneer talking so quickly. It's like that infectious.
It's the best.
You're gonna think I'm lying to you. I really need someone to Google it. I need someone to Google it. So when we were in Trip Flip, was my Travel Channel show, we spent a day, a week. We take people on adventures of a lifetime. And we spent a week as cowhands running buffalo across Texas. We're outside Houston, Texas. Caddy Houston. That's not Caddy. And so we're outside Houston, Texas. So one of the things says, I want you to take my steer into auction. So I was like, all right. He goes, I expect $25,000 for all my steer you bring in. So we drove steer into town. And I said, I'm going to fucking knock his socks off. The guy that runs a ranch. I said, as soon as their cattle comes out, I'm going to put in first bid. I'm going to jack it up. Yeah. Whatever the first one comes out, I'm going to put in the first bid. And we're going to raise the money for it. And then that way, I'm going to come in. Everyone will have sold just a little bit over what he's expecting.
Right.
Because I'm going to start going back and forth with them. So I swear to God. It is top five hardest I've ever laughed in my life. So the first one comes out, and I go, is that John's steer? And they're like, yeah, I'm with two other dudes. They're like, yeah. I go, all right. And they're like, hey, my name is John's. And I raise my hand, and he goes, sold. And I went, wait, what? There's no bidding. You just buy them. And I bought a calf for $1,300. I bought a calf, a fucking full calf.
My God.
I bought one of the ones I was going to sell. I brought it back to him, and I was like, hey, man, I bought one of your calves. Is there any chance I can sell this back to you? And he was like, $800. I was like, I'll take it.
Fuck it. That's fine. Dude, that's amazing.
I swear to God, there's that videos on YouTube, and it is as soon as I realized what I did, you see it in my eyes, and I'm like, oh, fuck. I didn't have $1,300 to spend on. No one has $1,300 to spend on cattle.
Right.
You don't have cattle.
The auction, though, the auctions are the – I once got, like, mildly addicted to auctions online. There was in Chicago a grocery store chain called Dominick's that was going out of business, so they were selling everything, and I would just go on every day and try to buy like random shit, like carts, everything. Like I bought a bench that I didn't need There was just a dot. It was sitting in the lobby of the grocery store.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, but I won it. Like, this feels cool.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's just like winning something. And then, you know, a day later, you're like, wait, what? I don't need this. What the fuck am I doing? But the rush of winning something at an auction or a raffle, there's nothing like it.
I think that more places should do like the 50-50 raffles. Just every day in your life.
Yes.
Imagine if you're going into work and like the subway car in the New York City subway has a 50-50 raffle. If you stay on for five stops, they do a drawing. Once you're in five stops, it'd be incredible.
It would be incredible. I'm not lying to you, Bert. Like, if I won a 50-50 raffle, let's say it like a hockey game, I think I would then become even for my life in terms of 50-50 raffles. Just 50-50 raffles. I buy 50-50 raffle tickets the second I walk into a stadium. Just the second I walk. I had a group of guys at Wrigley who literally they knew me and they knew that I love 50-50 raffle. I bought tickets. They bought the tickets right after me. I bought the tickets right after them. Yeah. They bought the tickets right after me.
I love that.
And they ended up winning. They won the whole fucking thing sitting right behind me. Really? And I've never been more upset in my life. I have a picture of them. Like, they're like, can we get a picture after celebrating in my face? Dude. But it was thrilling to go back and forth being like, no, I'm getting the next one numbers.
They changed the rules to raffles at my school.
At my kid's school.
It's my kid's school.
I was going to say, you're not your school.
No, at my kid's school, they made it so that every family could only buy 10 tickets.
Because of you?
Because of me.
This is like the Burt Kreischer, this is like the Larry Bird rule?
I have a joke I'm going to put in my special about it. I'm not even messing around. I would go into raffles with just stupid money and go, I mean, I have a problem with it. That, and I'll tell you the other one is that I get addicted to, because I'm good at public speaking, is running for office that I don't want. I've done that. I did that. We went, there's this woman. I'm gonna use real names, so I apologize. I'm going to use real names.
That was not an apology.
Whatever.
That was just a warning.
That was the best sorry, not sorry.
Mm-hmm. So there's this woman, Jenna Schwartz, right? In Valley Village, where I live, I'm telling you everything, is we don't have PTA. We have, it's called PACE, right? That's what our PTA is. So PACE president kind of organizes everything at the school. Isla is in fifth grade. She's going to the middle school. We will no longer be working at this school. And they bring us in early for graduation. And it's so that we can, as parents, they get us there early so we can vote for PACE president, PACE, all the PACE thing. Current PACE president, everyone is on stage. I get there early and I say to Leanne, are you fucking kidding me? They lied to us. We're here for the fucking elections? And she goes, yeah. Now, I had eaten the edible the night before and that I'd over-medicated myself. And so I still feel it. So I said, well, who's running? And they go through the thing, and then everyone's dressed up. And she goes, Jenna Schwartz is running for president. And she's not dressed up. She's in workout clothes. And I said, why isn't she dressed up? Leanne goes, she's running unopposed. I was like, not on my watch. Now here's the thing you need to know. Jenna Schwartz kind of fucked me over once, right? Not fucked me over bad, but just in a weird way, So I look back, a guy named Brian Stepanek. He was on, Zach and Drake or whatever. Brian Stepanek, I look back, I go, hey, nominate me for PACE president. And he's like, for real? I go, dead serious. He goes, I nominate Burt Kreischer. I go, I accept. And Leanne goes, what the fuck are you doing? I said, I'm running for PACE president. She goes, honey, hold on, you're not going to be PACE president. No one's going to vote for you. I said, well, let me just give my speech. Jenna Schwartz comes over. She goes, what are you doing? And I said, please don't talk to me. I'm running for PACE president.
We're enemies.
So I go up, and they go, who would like to speak first? Now, Jenna Schwartz has not worn makeup. She's not gotten dressed up. And she also hasn't prepared a speech. She's been running unopposed. Mm-hmm. I get up. I'm almost verbatim. I'll call my fucking wife to just to prove this is how accurate my speech was.
It sounds like Jenna Schwartz was just, she was like experiencing absolute power. She thought that she wasn't going to be held accountable.
Yeah, my wife better answer. Do you ever fucking call your wife and then you're like, if she doesn't answer, I'm just canceling her fucking phone. She apparently doesn't know how to use a goddamn phone. It's like, she'll look at it and go, who is this calling? And I'm like, that's why it rings. That's why it rings. Fuck her. Anyway, I get up on stage. Now it's maybe 500 parents in there, all of which know me. So I've had now two kids go through this school. I said, my name's Burt Kreischer. I'm running for PACE president. This is almost verbatim in my speech. I said, I know Jenna Schwartz. I used to hike with Jenna Schwartz on Fryman Canyon. Me, my wife, Lynn Grusin, Kathy Fromkin, and Sandy Tat would hike every morning.
All names,
all accurate. We would hike every morning at Fryman Canyon right after drop-off with Jenna Schwartz. It was fun. Great conversation. And then one day, she didn't show up. We sat at the trailhead for about 30 minutes, and she never showed up. She didn't call. She didn't text. Nothing. So we decided to hike. And that day we saw her on a hike with Christy Goodman. She didn't say hi to us. She didn't acknowledge. And to this day, we have never hiked with her again. We've never spoken about it. And to this day, she hikes with Christy Goodman. If you want to vote for a president that one day will decide the journey they're on with you is no longer the journey they want to take, then vote for Jenna Schwartz. But if you want a president who's going to show up every day at that trailhead and wait for you to take that journey with you until we're done, then vote for me. My name's Burt Kreischer. I'd like to be your PACE president. The fucking room is shaking. Dudes, legit dudes are like, that's my guy. That's my guy. Jenna Schwartz is like, wait, hold on. I have a bad knee. Wait, you hike too fast. He talks nonstop.
Well, she should have told you about that. There's a little thing called conversations that people can have when they change their plans.
Yeah.
And if they don't say anything, that's a red flag.
I sat down. And my wife goes, you have to stop this. And I go, I just want to hear what she has to say. And they're like, well, that's Bert's speech. Jenna, and she comes up, she goes, okay, hold on one second. Okay, he doesn't really want to be PACE president. This is a joke. You're joking, right? Hold on. I have a bad knee. No, listen, Christy has a bad knee also. And I just raised my hand. I go, I'd like to rescind my nomination for president. And that is the funnest. I got in trouble in college for it. There was a Miss Florida State pageant. And every fraternity had to have a contestant that you brought up. And so we're getting there, and we're sitting in the big, you know, auditorium, and no one's taking the mic, and no one's taking the mic. And I'm like, I'm going to go up and take the mic. So I get up, and I walk up, and I go, I want to thank you, everyone, for coming. This is so great. Give yourselves a round of applause for just coming out today. And everyone gives themselves a round of applause. I said, awesome. If everyone just pass forward their physical forms. And everyone's like, physicals, physicals. And I go, oh, you guys, that's totally cool. If you don't have a physical, I'll be administering physicals in the back bathroom. So just line up back there. And four girls got up and walked to the back bathroom. And I was like, I'm fucking around. Well, I got in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah.
I had to go to fucking Omega whatever and fucking apologize at their dinner. I was like, what the fuck? You can't think a goddamn joke.
You're an agent of chaos. I love it. It's just like the moment. There's humor in every moment, and it's like, how can I make this a ridiculous moment?
I think when you become a comedian, you definitely can live in that. But then there's the other side where your jokes don't really fly.
But they're
those
still
are almost
funny
funnier
sometimes. Yeah. So
when you get like the anti, like when everyone's like, oh my god, how could he say that? That's even better, I would assume. Have you had that where you're like, you've done something and everyone's like, dude, what the fuck?
Fuck yeah, they had a dance. They had a dance for the kids, and then they had taught them like the foxtrot or whatever. And so it was like their first dance, and maybe their fifth grade. And we go to that same auditorium at the school, and the parents sit together, and we're gonna watch our kids do the dance. That's how the first dance goes. So before this dance starts, they pull us outside, and they're like, "Hey, listen, we need to have a conversation with the parents. I apologize." One of the teachers like, "I apologize. I assumed everyone's gender, and I paired them up, boy girl, boy girl. I assumed a lot, and it's on me. I hope to learn better. But if you're cool with it, the dance isn't going to go forward like this. We're just going to just let them pair with whoever they want to pair with, because apparently some parent got upset. We're going to let them pair. It's going to be like girl, girl, boy, boy, whatever. It's just going to be him, them, or whatever. They're all going to pair up, and they're not going to do a dance. They're just going to dance to music. Is that okay? And now I'm watching parents grandstand, like going like, actually, we don't even call our daughter our daughter a daughter, whatever. You know, they're like spouting their politics. And so they get to me and Leanne, and they're like, are you guys cool with that? And I was like, I'll answer that. And Leanne's like, please don't. And I said to a group of very liberal parents, I go, I actually don't care if my daughter dances with a boy or a girl, just as long as it's white. And the fucking, oh God. I mean, you could watch, they were just like, what did he say? My wife's like, he's a comedian. And I was like, I'm just kidding. It better be a boy and it better be white. And there were parents that were legit upset.
Oh, I'm sure.
Dude, when I won the raffle that changed the raffles, there's a dude, this is, whoa. So I win this one raffle that changes all the raffles. And I go in to Corolla like a week later. And I'm telling him the story of this raffle, and I say the guy's name. One dad got really upset because after I won all the prizes, I then walked around shirtless with all the prizes going to parents going, what did you guys win? Like, I won all the prizes. I won them all. And this dad's like, I have a raffle budget. And I went, I go, fuck your raffle budget.
Yeah, well, you're pretty much like the reason they invented the salary cap in football. Yeah. Like elementary school.
You'd make a good baseball owner. No, but I think you've tapped into something here because it's, and I have two young kids and I've just started to get into this world.
Oh, it's so parents. Fucking great when you don't care.
Yeah, it's parents because I've told this story on the show, but I had a thing where my son's preschool got shut down out of nowhere because of like construction and all this stuff. It basically was like these two really nice women were running it. COVID shut down. They lost money. Like they couldn't keep it afloat. It was all very like understandable.
Yeah.
And I was on this parent group chat and there were people saying there was like a Ponzi scheme and everything and like all this stuff. And I now know that I should just go for it. I almost replied to the whole group and was like, now that you guys say it, like I saw one of the teachers driving a Lambo the other day because like they would have all taken it so seriously.
Yeah,
I didn't. But now I got to start doing it because it is like I think it's the parents' world. Like I've been in this for a couple of years. My son's 2.5. Like every time I'm around parents, people take it so seriously. And it's like, what are we doing?
Dude,
why is everyone so serious?
Our first school is called the Sunshine Shack. Okay. And by the way, I'm still using all very real names.
Mm-hmm.
Called the Sunshine Shack. It's a great school. It's a great fucking school. It was preschool. It was awesome. First day there, we do like a parents, you know, get to like orientation. And it's all fucking famous people. I mean, it's Billy Crudup. Billy Crudup's chick at the time. Something masters. I don't know who it is. But she was in Weeds. His chick at the time. Nia Vardalos, who wrote My Big Fat Greek Wedding, her husband, Ian Gomez, it's everyone. And then Jay Chandasekhar, like all these big famous people, and Fred Savage. So Fred Savage, his kids were, I think, a year below mine, maybe. Maybe he's Isla's age. So Fred Savage one day. Now, I always came to this place hungover. I had always been out doing spots the night before. And one day, Fred Savage is there, and he's on the ground playing with the kids. I don't get on the ground for kids. I'm like, I'll sit in a chair, but I'm not getting on the floor.
Adjacent, yeah.
Yeah. He's on the ground. He's playing with the kids, and I'm listening to these moms, and they're like, he's such a good dad. He is such a good dad. And then one of the moms is like, and you would have known that. Like, knowing who we grew up with him. We grew up with him. We've known him since he's a little kid. And when I tell you, when I saw him on the Wonder Years, my first thought, I can't wait to see what he's going to be like as a dad. And he's amazing. And I go over, and I go, yeah, he is a good dad. It's so crazy, like, considering who his father was, that he turned out this way. And they're like, who's his dad? I go, Randy the Macho Man Savage. And they're like, for real? And I go, yeah, his mom's beautiful, Elizabeth. And I go, you didn't know that? And they're like, oh, yeah, I guess he has a showbiz family. And then I just walked away. And then the fucking people that ran Sunshine Shack were like, hey, man, are you talking shit about Fred Savage? You know, awesome. You wanted the worst one. The worst one was Billy... Billy Crudup. I'm sure it's in the news or something. Billy Crudup. Billy Crudup's a fucking great guy. That's why I'm hesitant to say anything bad about Billy Crudup. And I'm not saying anything bad about him. He's awesome. He wasn't part of this. Billy Crudup's a fucking legit guy. Like, a legit great guy. Top to bottom, a great guy.
But?
No, but. But I think, I'm just hoping this isn't gossip, but it's been fucking 17 years. So him and his chick get split up, right? And Mariston Masterson, whatever her name is, they split up and he starts dating someone else. I think he was a celebrity. I don't remember. I think it was Claire Danes. Someone have to Google it. But it's fodder for the tabloids. So we have a end of the school picnic, and someone at the picnic takes pictures and sells them to the Star or whatever. And fucking because of my constant behavior, they immediately assume it's me.
But nothing about you would say, like, this is a guy that would go behind
your
back.
Yeah, I did have a big camera because I was a dad. Because I was a dad.
You've got, like, vest on with the rolls of film in it and shit.
But I had, like, a camera because back then the cell phones didn't take pictures.
Right.
So, like, I had a legit camera because I was a dad. And as soon as I get blamed for something, I start behaving guilty. Like, the second you go... hey, did you cheat on my wife one time found a pair of jeans in my laundry, like girls' jeans, sexy girl jeans. Mm-hmm. She goes, whose are these? And I started laughing so hard that I couldn't defend myself. I go, I have no idea. And I was like, I don't know where they came from. And she goes, where the fuck would you find these? And I was like, I have no fucking idea. I have no idea. And she legit was like, how the fuck would you have come home with girl jeans? Her best friend was like, fuck him, he's a cheater, divorce him. He's a cheater. You caught him. He's a cheater. Divorce him. And then my wife's like, fuck it. I'm going to wear the jeans. So we go out to dinner with her best friend, Julie, and she wears the jeans. And Julie says, hey, you're wearing my jeans. Leanne goes, these are the jeans I found in his laundry. And she's like, no, those are my jeans. She's like, I've been looking for those jeans. And Leanne goes, how did your jeans get in his laundry? Turns out I had come home from the airport, gone to Julie's house to party, put my jacket on her chair. Her jeans were on the chair, picked up my jacket and her jeans. I was like, fucking cunts, I told you. I fucking told you I'm not a cheater. When the machine story went viral, and the reason it went, I'm so sure I told you this. When the machine story went viral, the reason it went viral was someone in my class had written, I was on this trip, I was in Birch Russian class. This story's 100% true. We fucking robbed us, right?
Right, on Facebook.
Yeah, on Facebook. Dude, I screen grabbed it. I'm not even joking. I screen grabbed it, and I sent it to Tom, and I was like, I knew I wasn't lying. And he goes, I believed you the whole time. I go, no, I didn't believe myself.
Yeah.
Like, I have, like, whatever, like, guilty, like, as soon as someone has money missing, I think I did it.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that is. I'm sure there's, like, some fucking...
Going to get back to Bert in a second, but before we do, you know the mountains are blue. They're always blue. The chaos of the big tournament can be unpredictable, to say the least, and even the best players take a moment to cool off on the bench when you need to take a breather. Take a seat with a refreshing Coors Light. That's the beer that's made to chill. Their commercial, that song in the commercial that they're playing, that's been stuck in my head. It's a great song. Very relaxing song. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. People wait all year for this, and the tournament is a perfect excuse to do nothing but chill and watch the games with the beer that's made to chill. Coors Light, there's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill. That's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans, they turn blue when your beer's cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. We love Coors Light. It's all we're drinking this March. It's the official beer of basketball. It's the official beer of sports. It's the official beer of chilling out, hanging out with your buddies, watching the mountains turn blue. When you need a strategic timeout from the madness, reach for Coors Light. It's the beer that's made to chill so you can refresh the spirit and jump back into the excitement. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/take. That's CoorsLight.com/take. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And now here's more Bert Kreischer.
We got to get Tom on too. Tom Segura, your co-host. How's he doing physically after his one of the all? If you haven't seen the clip, it's very relatable to anyone who played any sport at any point in their life and then gained some weight in 20 years and then said, I'm going to go do this again. It scared me off of playing basketball for a little bit there.
He's doing good. He's doing really good. You know,
break? Tell me the whole list of injuries.
So he went to jump, and as he went to jump, his left patella ruptured.
That's such a bad injury, too.
That's just the
start. Like, that's not even – I know, but that alone – people talk about, like, the ACL as being a bad injury.
Yeah.
If you rupture your patella tendon, that's, like, the most painful knee injury that you can possibly have.
Well, his exploded because apparently it wasn't meant to solely hold 280 pounds. Like, his patella was never invented to hold what he did to it. So then that exploded, and then Tom, in his quick thinking, grabbed his left arm to catch his body. Now, that left arm, the humerus bone, also is not meant to hold 280 pounds. And it broke in half. And then, because he was moving so fast, because when that much mass moves that forward that fast, it spun in a circle, and his arm was facing as if it was, like, reaching for a cheat notes in class. Like, hey, man, can you pass me the notes? And now this happens in a blink of an eye. It happens in a second. He's like, hey, you guys want to see me dunk? And we're like, Everyone's like, get your cameras out. This is going to be good. And you hear pop, pop, and the panic noise of real pain, that like not like ow, 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 like
the gasping, yeah.
Call 911. Call 911.
I watched it. So I have a sick thing where I love watching injury videos.
What's ironic is he does too. That's the irony in all of this, is if you show him an Asian guy getting kneecapped by a car in a garage, he is crying laughing.
That's me. Yeah. Yes. I'm the same way. It's puke videos and any type of horrific injury, I will watch it every time.
I just love that his body just quit on itself. He was like, nope. I'd rather self implode than do what you're asking me to do right now.
And he was so competitive that day. Because now, here's what you need to know about me and Tom, is athletically across the board, I've always been better than Tom in everything and everything there is to do. There's not one thing he can hold a candle to me at all, ever, anything. He's and I know that. I know that. I'm a little bit like I because I played sports growing up, I can pick up very quick. He said one day, he goes, I've been taking tennis lessons. And I, without knowing where he was in tennis, I said, I'll destroy you. And he went, you don't know how good I am. I said, it doesn't matter. I destroy you. And he goes, but I don't know how good you are. And he goes, I said, doesn't matter. I destroy you. And he goes, let's play tennis. And I said, let's play tennis. I aced him 42 times. I aced his tennis coach. His tennis coach pulled Tom aside before the match and said, heads up, your boy's got a Division I serve. And he was like, what? And he was like, I have no idea where his game is horrible, but his serve is fucking top notch. And it has, he's got three different types of spin you need to watch out for. And when he puts the heater on, it goes past you. And I, by the way, I have a Division I serve in tennis. So Tom's like, what the fuck? I aced him so bad that it was no longer funny. His wife came out and brought his kid to cheer him on. Oh, and then she put him in the car. She didn't want him to see it. It was that bad. So when we went to play basketball, Tom all of a sudden was better at me in basketball. And he was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I also, and this is from doing Travel Channel a lot, I knew you don't always have to give it 100%.
Right.
Because you can get hurt. So when playing basketball, I'm kind of just fucking around going like, I have not moved around a lot. I was the fattest I've ever been. And so when we went to dunk, I was like, I'm not going to fucking hurt myself. Tom was like, I'll hurt myself.
Yeah.
And man, it happened so quick. And I'll admit, my initial instinct of resetting his arm wasn't the best idea.
How long was he like actually out for? Oh, dude. Like 6 months? Dude. He had to do everything, right? He had to do all rehab and everything?
The best parts of this story are the aftermath. I mean, there's so much. Because here's the thing that everyone loves Tom. I love Tom. He's my best friend. He's hilarious on stage. But the funniest parts of Tom are the sad parts. Like when he goes like, so we go to his house. I go home. I tell my wife. I go, Tom's fucked himself up. He's in the hospital. She goes, we need to drive over and help. Push is not equipped to do this by herself. And I was like, you're right. So we go to Tom's house and I buy if you're lifting an old person, they put a belt around them. I buy one of those belts. And they're like, what the fuck is this for? And I go, we're going to have to get Tom in this house. He can't use any parts of his body. I need to put a fat belt on him and carry him. And they're like, okay. So he gets there and when Tom is bummed out, it is my favorite look in the world. It is, there's not a child who's dropped an ice cream cone that could do it better. He's got a little look where he just goes like. And so I put the fat belt on him and I carry him into his screening room and I throw him on the thing and he's sweating now. They didn't even reset his arm at the hospital. Oh. He's got a brace on his thing and he's just like this. He's in pain and he looks up and my wife just looks at him and goes, you're about to get fat as fuck. And his look on his face was priceless.
Did he have like stairs in his house and shit that around?
He did. He had a ton. He had a 4-story house in the Palisades.
So they had to do the like old person chair that took him up and down the stairs?
They were like, okay, we're going to have to make a ramp to get him in and out. They had an old. So,
all because he played basketball.
All because he played basketball and he said, do you want to see me dunk? The best.
Like, for like half a second, he played basketball.
The best is. Now, Tom and I are also very different men in comics, and that like, or see us on the street and you're like, oh shit, Bert, I will match your energy. And I'll be like, hey, what's up? How you doing? Want to get a picture? Sure, let's do it. If you do that to Tom, he will shut down and be like, not now, and just walk away. So he's not a dick, but he's not like, fame is not why he ever got into this at all. So the next day I have to get him a medical transport to get him to the hospital. This guy shows up with long hair, clear he's been smoking in this van. I now have a wheelchair. I get Tom in the wheelchair. I wheel him out to the thing. I get him in the thing. The guy, Tom's also overweight. This guy and I are struggling to get him there. It's the height of COVID. We're all masked up. Tom's masked up. He's in the same pants he was wearing the night before. Same sweat, smells. We get in the back of the van. There's no air conditioning. The guy's like, we start to drive, and Tom just looks at me, and he's like, he's at his lowest. He now knows he's going in for a full time of surgery. And he goes, and the guy goes, so, what do you guys do? And I go, we're comedians. And he goes, tell me a joke. I go, Tom, tell him a joke. It's just his sadness was the funniest thing out of all of the whole fucking thing. We got him in the elevator, and his arms like this, his things like this, and he got stuck in the elevator. And I mean, there was so much to it. We had to take him in. I had to take him into the emergency room at Cedars-Sinai in the peak COVID. We're talking December of COVID of a year ago, and we had to get him to piss in a bottle. I mean, it was talking like I literally said to him, if you've ever questioned how much I love you, let this remind you that this is how much I love you. That was a really intense time for friendship.
I can't even imagine how you would take a shit like that.
He didn't actually for a while because he was on pain pills. So he was on so many pain pills, he wasn't shitting. And then when he started shitting, he had COVID. So he thought he was just detoxing from pain pills.
Oh,
and
Jesus these are all Christ.
Stories. By the way, these are all stories you would never hear from Tom Segura. Like he would never tell you these. Oh. But yeah, it was an interesting time in my life. And then I ruptured my arm and blew out my tendons. And he was great for me because he like helped me, got me a physical therapist. And yeah, he's an interesting fucking guy.
I know that you're a golf fan. Can you still play golf with your injuries?
Yeah. I played Pebble Beach the other day on the fucking. Have you ever played with the one that's got the screen?
I played it several times on Tiger Woods 2005. I think that golf game, maybe the best sports video game of all time.
Maybe the best. So I was addicted to that game. I love that game more than ever. I played real Pebble Beach. I was playing the one that you hit into the mat and it shows up. That's why I played that the other day. But I played Pebble Beach for real. And it wasn't until hole five, the par five uphill. You know the one on the cliff where you hit and then you got to hit up blind into the – until I went, I've played this fucking course a million times. I was actually on hole three, I think, or hole three.
You're like, this is way easier in person than it is. I'm well prepared.
I got up there and I go, this is a drivable par four. And he's like, it's not drivable. I go, it's 310. It's a drivable par four. And he goes, it's uphill. I go, it's a drivable par four. I hit five balls until I got to play the sand trap.
We got to get you down to the Masters. That would be great to have you go cover the Masters there.
Oh, that's all you had to say.
Yeah.
That's all you had to say. That is Oh, dude.
That's the perfect environment for a guy like you because it is, you know, it's the old school place, very buttoned up, traditions important down there. You know, they do like fake bird sound effects on the broadcast.
No way.
They really doctor it up. They spray paint the grass to make it look greener than it really is. They do have an army of people that walk around like picking up every single leaf with like little tweezers to make sure that it looks perfectly manicured.
Golf tournaments are fun as fuck. We used to go to the TPC every year out of St. Augustine, I think. I think that's where it is. But all I know is that hole 17, we just sat by that par three and just watched, and everyone would bet. It was the funnest.
Yes.
Yeah, but getting you down in Augusta and inside the Masters, that would be maybe the best content that I've ever had.
I would come all over my pants to be at the Masters.
That's how you get in. They'll hear that and they'll be like, okay.
Hey, man, I guys hope you know I came in my pants for this. Oh, cool, Bert. Thanks.
Wait, so when you walked in here this morning, you have a show in Newark on
tomorrow.
Tomorrow. So we're going to run this Friday. When's the next show?
In Brooklyn on I'll tell you exactly. By the way, my wife called and was like, texting, do you need something? I'm in Brooklyn on the 31st, Providence, Rhode Island, the 1st, Portland, Maine, the 2nd, and then Albany, New York on the 3rd.
So you're doing the whole, up and down East Coast. You came in, though, and you're like, my goal today is to just not drink until 5 p.m.
If I could not.
What happened yesterday?
Oh, no, I've been good. That's my whole thing is I've been good. And then I got on the plane last night. And we do this thing called private suite. It's where it's like a separate entrance. We got it for COVID, and now I'm addicted to it.
Wait, what is it?
It's private suite. It's a different entrance. So like the airport's here, all the gates are here. Well, it's on the other side, and you pay extra, and you go to a private suite, and you hang out there, and it's stocked. You can take whatever you want out of there. It's stocked. They bring you caviar, and then they put you in a car and drive you onto the tarmac, onto the plane.
That's amazing.
It costs more, but if you've got parents that are older like me, it makes sense because they don't want to be in the airports during COVID and for me and my team, when we fly out, we all meet at private suite. We all hang out, party our balls off. It's fucking all you can drink, and then we get on the plane. So I was like, I'm good. I'm not drinking. I had a busy day yesterday, and then I got there and they had a bottle of wine and brought champagne and caviar, and I just got fucking lit, and then got on the plane, and then but didn't drink on the plane, passed out, listened to the Ryan Leaf podcast. Have you listened to that?
Yeah, no, we've had him on our show. Yeah,
he is fucking fascinating.
Yeah,
like, I, and by the way, I didn't follow any of that when it was happening.
Yeah,
like, I wasn't. I don't. You know, I only watch. I don't give a fuck about the Jamarcus Russells and Ryan Leafs. But like, I will listen to all of Ryan Leaf's podcasts last night.
Yeah, he's got a good head about him. Like when we were talking to him about, you know, as he was going through that process, he's able to look back and like very clearly, completely self-diagnose. Here's where I fucked up. Here's where the reasons are. He's a smart guy.
All I could think is, don't get the big house. That's all I thought. And I just bought a big house.
You did?
Yeah. And I was like, I was hungry in that small house. In that small house, you had nowhere to go. So you got up and you left, or you got up and you walked, you went out back and you wrote. In the big house, you're like, I'm going to polar plunge. I'm going to take a bath.
Have all the amenities.
It's crazy. Like, that's all I heard is don't get the big house. And it's interesting because I've been pushing away. My wife loves our big house. My daughters love it. But I've been distant from it because I go, this isn't mine. Like, I still need to work. I still have to work. This isn't mine. It's fascinating. And it's fascinating to hear the things, the way his brain thought about vengeance and vendettas. And because I know dudes in comedy that are that way.
Right.
And I'm like, whoa.
What is it, do you think, about guys in comedy that it's almost like they're so sensitive all the time? Like, they've got these egos, and so much of what drives them is just based on like hatred or like trying to bring somebody else that they think they're more deserving than down.
Well, it really is. You're talking about a group of guys who were more often than not cool in high school, not athletic, not couldn't do anything, never had a bunch of successes under their belts. And so then when they get to comedy and they get and there's a lot of rejection in comedy. When you get that success, I know the instinct. There's a period when you get a first flash of success where you want to tell everyone to fuck themselves.
Right.
You want to tell everyone that, and I went through it. I mean, I'm not saying that everyone went through it, but I went through it where you get that first thing and you're like, you want to call up the agents that didn't want to work with you or people that didn't want to help you and be like, I told you, but the best thing you can do is shut your fucking mouth.
It's the old Bill Murray, like, I think you said it specifically about Chevy Chase, that everyone gets 1 year to be a dick when they become famous.
Yeah.
And then you got to adjust. And then Chevy Chase obviously never did, but that was like,
I never was a dick because, so I got very lucky. I got very lucky in that I had Travel Channel, small Travel Channel success, not success, but it was just like stripper money, you know, like it was good money. And then everything went away. And during that time, when you get fired from Travel Channel and you don't have a special and you're just working the road and everyone, including yourself, thinks this will not happen for me. It is an insight I wish every comic could get, because you see the comics that look over your shoulder when they're talking to you at the store. You see the comics that look in your eye. I'll tell you the comics that look in your eye. Joe Rogan, Bill Burr, Tom Segura. I'm not saying that other people don't. Joey Diaz. My friends, my small group of friends, they're the guys that none of that shit matters. I mean, Bill Burr and Joe Rogan, I have said this before. When I walked into the backstage of the store one time, they were like, hey, man, your show sucks. And I was like, what? And they're like, your travel show sucks. You're wasting your life. You're a talented comic and you're awesome on podcasts. Focus on your podcast. Get your special done. Fucking be undeniable. Joe Rogan probably more than Burr, but Burr's, you know, Burr just is a quieter dude. Rogan was like, you need to get the fuck out of Travel Channel. And when I got fired, I remember you find out who the real people are. And then when you do your first theater tour and you sell them all out, and then you add shows and you start doing Red Rocks, and like I'm doing the Greek on May 5th, small plug, but like you can find out who those real people are and who the real, because now there's people that would look over my shoulder that are like, what's up, Bert?
Yeah.
Hey man, I heard you got a project going. Yeah. Like, what's going on? You and Tom sell something? Man, if you ever need a fat astronaut,
right, whatever,
you know?
Right.
Plus
try to invite themselves on, yeah.
I feel like the podcast just in general is so much, it's perfect for you because you don't have to worry about having like a full team of people to approve every idea that you have, or like,
and I have a lot of bad ones.
Yeah, but the bad ideas are usually the best ones.
Oh, we're
right.
Yeah. Oh, dude, let me tell you something.
You should do a show that's just strictly bad ideas.
I've had bad ideas that are so bad that everyone says they're horrible until fucking Dave Portnoy greenlights them, and then all of a sudden, Bert Kreischer's a goddamn genius. And then I have my next bad idea, and everyone's like, quick, 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 before Barstool does it, and it's not a good idea anymore. So I came up with Two Bears Sports Management probably like 3 years ago. I was like, we need to start signing talent. It was a joke, and Tom's like, what do you mean? I go, we need a talent. We need to find talent. And we talked about it. We laughed about it. Athletes reached out to us. We talked to one guy, the Handshake King. We signed him. But then you guys did it, And all of a sudden, all these agents that mocked me hit me up. They're like, "You still doing sports management?"
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "Man, we don't have the infrastructure they do. They're a different animal. Like, they're going to do it and succeed." Tom and I were just thinking about a lark. And then I came up with stupid fucking Two Bears Racing, a racing team. And I fucking just invested $100,000, and I'm just waiting for Dave and you guys to do it so that it's a real idea.
What is the fucking
I bought Tom a race car.
You bought him a race car?
For his birthday. I bought him a race car.
Damn.
So we do gay birthdays. So we do gay guys buy the best presents ever, right? So 1 year, Tom bought me like a $3,000 electric bike that goes 40 miles an hour.
Oh, those things are sick.
They're awesome.
Yes.
And they're even better.
They're motorcycles.
They're even better at 2 a.m. when you're drunk and no one's out, right?
Yeah.
So then the next year, I bought him, and we said, for our birthdays, we'll buy more expensive gifts every year, and we'll until we get to $1 million. And so
that's
then,
unbelievable.
But I'm like looking at my time. Like, Tom's 42, I'm 49. I gotta speed this up, right? Mm-hmm. So I buy him the next year. He had moved to Austin. I bought him a $15,000 Wave Runner that goes 70 miles an hour, right? So he's like, nice. So then this year,
does he use it?
Every fucking day.
Oh, okay.
Tom's a speed freak.
Okay.
So he gets on glass and just. He uses it so much, he bought a second one.
Okay.
So then this year he calls me up. I'm stressed. We got the movie coming out. Or we're wrapping the movie. I'm doing screenings in like Sugarland, Los Angeles. I'm doing shows. I'm on tour. And I'm stressed out. Tom knows. And I'm doing Two Bears in Austin. And he knows I'm stressed out. And he calls me up. And he goes, "Happy birthday. Don't worry about next week." It was like my busiest week. And I go, "What?" And he goes, "Don't worry about it. I got you. After your show in Minneapolis, I got a private jet. It's going to pick you up. It's going to take you to Austin. We're going to do two Bears. Then the private jet's going to take you to Sugarland, and it's going to drop you off to go to the screening of the movie. Then it's going to take you back to L.A. so you can see the girls and do your voiceover, and then the private jet is going to fly you back out on the road." And I was like, "For real?" He was like, "Yeah." And he goes, "And it's not one of the tiny ones. It's the fucking G5. It's like the fucking big one. It's like $70,000. And I'm like, all I thought was, motherfucker, I got to spend $100,000 on this guy next year.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to him, he's really into cars and racing. And I said, "Let's start Two Bears Racing. I'll buy you a race car for your birthday." And he's like, "Are you being serious?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "No, you don't mess around with me. This is like my dream." And I was like, "Done." So I bought a $56,000 race car. We're doing endurance races, BMW endurance races.
Hell yes.
And I would love if you guys, if Barstool could start a race team to make this fucking real.
Yeah.
If you guys just pitch this around the office, if Barstool starts a race team, then all of a sudden my idea doesn't look like a weird fucking idea.
Where's the race?
All around. Endurance races are forever. So our first race, I think we're going to get Rogan, Tom, and Matt Farah to be our race team. It's over 24 hours, so they each are just doing laps and laps and laps. I've got them a trailer. I got everything wrapped. I got them 4 extra tires, and I've got a crew that's going to be there for
the first. I'm in the race.
So it's like the it's on one track, though.
It's on one track, and it's all different types of cars. So you're not really racing. You're racing against people in your by the way, I don't really know what I'm talking about. So I don't know what the fuck. I just have the money to buy the fucking race team.
What does the winner get? Show me the business plan on it.
The business plan? Ad sales.
Okay.
Yes.
So already in just talking about it, all our advertisers for Two Bears have asked if they could buy space on the car. And I'm like, oh, this could work out pretty good. Secondly, live events. So we do live events, and me and Tom. And so content for live events is always the key to a great live event. This could be a great live event, either hosted there or shot and then taken on the thing. You have I made sure that my car has all cameras and
mm-hmm.
The video on the inside, so people can live stream and watch Tom race a car for fucking endurance races.
I'm down to drive.
Yeah. By the way, let me tell you something. I came up with the idea thinking, because I literally thought, how do we get into Formula One?
Right.
And then
that's
like,
a lot. Yeah.
No, but
be a Russian oligarch.
Yeah. And so they said, well, you got to start somewhere. And then all of a sudden, this guy, Matt Farah, who has a great podcast called The Smoking Tire, he hit me up. He goes, "This is actually a really great idea." And he goes, "For $100,000 investment, you can get into endurance racing, and I can help you out." And he knows everything about cars. So We bought the car. We bought the trailer. It's in Sacramento. It shipped yesterday. It's going to get...
Fuck yes.
Yeah, and so that's Tom's birthday present, is a race team.
I love that's it. That's an amazing... I love it.
Yeah, so now what's the expectation on your part for him to come back at you next year? What's the the ground floor for the price level?
I'm assuming we're just going to double up. I'm thinking $200,000.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of want like a ranch house in Montana. Like, I really... By the way, I told this to a gay dude, and he goes, do you know the stress we have when my boyfriend buys me something for Christmas that I've got to one-up him? The one-upmanship, because it's dudes, right?
Right.
It's fucking dudes. So there's the competition there. Then there's the love. Then there's the disposable income. Mm-hmm. We had gay guys writing in their favorite presents they brought him. Dude, it was like my boyfriend got me tickets to the Subway Series. It was like the best fucking presents. Gay guys are just guys... They're just guys.
Right.
They're just fucking guys. Yeah. They're just guys who get sick-ass fucking presents.
Sick-ass presents.
Not all of them want Gucci. Someone, like, go, let's go to the Masters. Let's go to the, you know?
Right.
So that's fucking, I'm expecting a big present next year.
I love it. All right, my last question. You should get Roback to sponsor the race car. Roback. Go to ROBACK.com. We have some Roback.
Oh, I know Roback.
Here. Yeah.
Dude.
20% off if you use code TAKE.
By the way, they just sent me a huge fucking box.
Oh, they're the best. They actually are the best. Like,
they are the best.
The most comfortable clothes.
We went to a lacrosse game. I got my Roback box for the podcast. They and it was cold, and I pulled out a couple of the overshirts, and my dad fucking was like, "Who is this?" And I go, "It's this podcast sponsor. It's Roback." And he was like, "Shut up." He was like, "Buddy, can I go through this?" And
yes.
I was like, yeah, and then he's like, "No, this is gonna fit you." I was like, "Easy, big guy."
Yeah, no, my dad loves this stuff too. Like, I think it's the most comfortable stuff in the world. So, Roback.com, use code TAKE, you get 20% off. Sponsoring Burt's racing team eventually.
I don't know where the money in this is. See, that's why I need you guys. If you guys start your race team, then I know you guys will figure out where the money is.
Well, Dave has got like a very good eye for business and how to make money off this stuff. So
when I pitched sports management to Tom, however long ago, no one could figure out how you can make money. And then you motherfuckers came in and you're like, collegiate athletes. And I was like, That's why you guys are where you are. I'm not even joking. And I saw you guys in Dick's Sporting Goods the other day.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, that fucking brain. That's a once in a lifetime brain. Yeah. You guys have a beautiful collective here of brilliant fucking people.
Yeah. It's a combination of like, yeah, brilliant chaos and then a lot of weirdos. Yeah.
A lot of weirdos.
Weirdos are great though.
You gotta
I
have
love
the weirdos.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many companies out there that almost exclusively hire non weirdos. They do everything that they can in their process to make sure that no weirdos are working at like an ESPN or like a Fox Sports. People love fucking watching weirdos.
Yes.
They put
weirdos
ass in
the
seats.
Best. Dude, they're the best.
Weirdos, bad ideas are like, this one guy's hit me up because we had a thing on Two Bears that I love original ideas. I love original ideas, ideas you never heard. And this guy, one guy who was like, dude, may not be the best idea. I got two dishwashers in my house. And I was like, what? And he goes, yeah, who the fuck? I just load one up and then I have one empty. So when I load the other one up, I put two dishwashers in my house because this fucking guy that wrote in, I put two dishwashers in my house.
Changed your life?
I don't know. I don't do dishes, but my wife loved it.
All right, Bert, thank you so much for stopping by.
Hey,
everyone, go check it out.
Anytime you guys are in LA, please come do my podcast.
Yes, absolutely.
And if you're in Austin, we always need guest bears. So if you're ever in Austin,
how often are you down in Austin?
Once a month.
Okay.
Yeah.
Once a month.
We're in.
Yeah, I used to live there. I go back every chance I can get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate this. It is. I'm telling you. Thank you very much for having me on.
Yes. Thank you for coming on. Loved having you on.
Fuck yeah.
Yes.
All right. Thanks to Bert Kreischer, great guest. We are going to wrap up the show with a little Marsh Madness, and Marsh Madness is brought to you by our friends at Visible. Visible has a single line plan for as low as $25 a month with unlimited data, talk, text, and hotspot. 5G is included, plus it's powered by Verizon. It's everything you'd get on a family plan, but you don't need a family. Stream a can't-miss game. If you're like Jake and you got to watch every single game, you got to make sure you have Visible. Stream us, your favorite podcasters, with some of the best wireless around. There's nothing worse than a bad connection when you're trying to stream the fourth quarter or second half. So make sure that you get Visible. You need unlimited data. Unlimited data is a must when it comes to this month and also every single month. Unlimited data is the way to go. for data management practices. Learn more at Visible.com. Additional terms apply. March Madness, thank you to Visible. And yeah, if you're not doing this, I don't know what you're doing. You got to have the most powerful phone. You got to have the unlimited data. You got to have the 5G. It's powered by Verizon. It has unlimited data, talk, text, and hotspots. And it's as low as $25 a month. Thank you to Visible. Great plan for everyone out there. March Madness, let's do it. Where are we at?
All right, so we had 20 from the opening weekend. I'm still missing a bunch, but we're at 29 right now. I think the last 30 to 60 seconds will be the final four.
Okay.
So I'm saving a lot for the back end there.
Question.
Yeah.
Have you factored in the possibility of them just dedicating it solely to Coach K if they win?
Oh, my God.
Just a spotlight on Coach K on the court.
Oh, my God. If it's just his whole career?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I fucking hate you, Hank. Oh, my God.
That was actually, yeah. I think that was first reported by Frank Fleming.
He did say that over the weekend. But, yeah, I think.
Oh, then I'm not feeling bad about that. Frank has. Yeah, I'm okay.
It's a good idea.
Frank has Coach K coaching the Lakers. LeBron's there. Steph Curry just got traded there. They got the Giannis is there. Kevin Durant. They're all there.
Given the storylines of this year's Final Four, it's going to be Final Four heavy this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Probably. Yeah. Elite Eight didn't have. I mean, we had the cheerleader again.
That cheerleader's on there. We have this unlucky miss in Gonzaga, Arkansas. It went over the back of the rim.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Like that's going to be in there.
That.
Yeah, that's for sure.
This is definitely going to be on there. The cool jump up by St. Peter's.
Yep.
Matthew Lee.
Yep.
So how much St. Peter's is going to factor into this? Because they got to have Doug in there at some point too, right?
Yeah, Doug hitting a three will be on there. I also had St. Peter's, Purdue missing the buzzer beater. And then
do you think that they'll have Jaden Ivey opting out of the Sweet 16?
Well, that
focus on the NBA draft.
Shot, so
right.
Part of it. Yeah.
That happened.
Interview heavy. There were some good interviews this weekend. First up, Shaheen Holloway, and then the players coming over to greet him.
I loved that. Yeah. I loved that interview.
That
He's
was awesome.
Fucking awesome.
You know what a red flag about Doug is, though? Doug says that he doesn't like sandwiches.
Mm.
How can you say you don't like sandwiches? That's ridiculous. Everybody's got a sandwich.
Maybe he just likes wings. He's sponsored by Buffalo
That's
Wild
true.
Wings.
Yeah. Well, they also have delicious sandwiches there and more.
And he's good at apologizing, too.
Yeah, he did apologize to you.
Right. Nice guy. Caleb Love heat check towards the end of the UCLA game. He won that game for him. For them.
Awesome. Awesome game.
Yeah.
That game was why this tournament is so brutal. UCLA was winning that game and like had it for 90% of the game. And then Caleb Love just went nuclear for the last 3 minutes. And it was like, oh, now you're going home.
Absolutely. The Arkansas cheerleader, guarantee. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
With Indiana.
Yep.
Again, today's
Jalen Williams taking a charge.
I like that.
Those old women with the hog smell good shirt.
Oh yeah.
those were
great.
So, potentially, yeah.
So the Williams thing, that was crazy. I didn't realize that he wears special pads to allow him to be able to take charges more efficiently.
He's SEC Brad Davidson.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was incredible. He also had this ability. He just would just like he almost it was like watching the you know that clip of Myles Garrett where he like basically teleports through the hole. Mm-hmm. That's what Jalen Williams would do. He wouldn't be there, and then all of a sudden he'd just be underneath someone getting a charge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tonight's Hubert Davis interview, emotional
hot seat.
Not by me, by our podcast, Team Sport. I'll take the heat for it.
Okay.
Thank
you, and Tony Bennett.
Team Sport.
We're gonna get one definitely of Manic, like. Head banging and his mane just flowing in the air.
Yeah, yep, him hitting a three. I think I had that last week.
Yeah,
but yeah, he keeps hitting the threes. What a second half by Kansas today. David McCormick's
fucked.
And one I have on there when he went crazy.
Yep.
47-15 second half, I think it was.
Insane.
Crazy. Villanova players going over Justin Moore after they won.
Yep.
He couldn't get up.
Absolutely.
Help him on the bench. And then, the Jaden Ivey miss and St. Peter's the first Elite Eight team, 15 seed to go to the Elite Eight. Crazy.
Unreal run.
Also, we had this debate on our post-game show. I'm interested to hear your thoughts because I was outnumbered in this one. Bigger upset. St. Peter's over Kentucky, UMBC over Virginia.
UMBC versus
Virginia. 16-1.
Thank you. Because I was outnumbered there. That's what I said.
What?
There's been like 10-15s over a 2.
Yeah.
But I get worked up.
They said that.
They both said 15 over St. Peter's over
that's
Kentucky.
That's insane.
These are the same guys that put Hubert Davis on the hot seat?
Jake, how do you do it?
I don't know. don't even know what that argument is.
It's not an argument.
That's the most recency bias argument I've ever heard.
I think it's. I think they're making the argument because it's Jersey Kentucky City too. And it's Coach Cal.
Yeah,
I think there's some Jersey City.
Right, I understand it's a blue blood, but 16 over a one, it's a one time thing. 15 over two is like 7 or 8 times.
Yeah, Lehigh,
Jersey City
over Duke.
Yeah, I think it's not even a debate. They said maybe 60-40. I'll tweet out the poll right now.
Okay, that's an insane.
I said UMBC over Virginia, and I was outnumbered.
I think sometimes your co-hosts on the podcast, like, I don't know how they function in real life. I feel like they walk around on their heads, just like seeing the world completely upside down sometimes.
Man, I'm sorry, Jake. That's brutal.
I love them.
Oh, I love them too.
I love them, but they are insane clinically.
I guess you know
who should host that show instead of you would be Emmanuel Acho.
Yeah,
I think they would. Oh. The three of them. Dude. Oh, by the way, he proactively asked somebody to reach out to me to ask me to block him, which I did not do, and then he blocked me too. So now I lost one of my Carson Wentz stands.
Yeah.
So I'm looking actively for a new psychopath to stand Carson Wentz with me.
Emmanuel Acho, just be ready, man, because Content Kim is coming after you. I still have her Twitter account from when we did Sling Sleepers, so that will be my burner.
I've been firing my burner at him, all cylinders.
Jake, great job.
Thank you.
All ends in New Orleans. So excited. Man, what a tournament.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm excited to be there with you guys.
Yeah, and you've never been to a Final Four.
I have been to a Final Four. I have a sad story to share. Oh. I told you this.
Oh, wait. What?
I told you this.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Oh, No, it's not that sad. Okay.
Yeah, so 2016, I was a sophomore.
He, like, told me someone died and I forgot.
No, bummer.
Yeah, yeah.
2016, Syracuse. I was a sophomore at Syracuse. They made the Final Four as a 10 seed. Went down to Houston. They got smoked by UNC.
I was there.
Oh, were you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Me and Caleb.
Oh, that's awesome. And I went back to school. I missed the greatest championship shot ever.
Yeah, but that's a totally normal thing.
A lot of
fans
leave when their team loses, but it's like, I'm regretting it.
In 2014, I left after Kentucky beat Wisconsin.
Fair, but knowing you missed the greatest shot ever.
I think you'll make up for it this time.
Yeah,
the Final Four is great, too. It's like just middle-aged white dudes walking around in sweatpants for 3 days.
And a lot of lawyers.
Yeah,
a lot of lawyers. No, because if you want to get down there, you have to have a lot of money to be able to get in the building. So it's guys that are... They will party. Yes.
Lawyers.
Yeah.
Okay. Fun. Billy, very important. Where are we at?
So we're not in the it could be way worse, being that there'd be no positive scenarios in the Final Four.
Yeah. If we lost all our money.
Right.
Yeah,
that would be. So it's about 50-50. Kansas and UNC, if they win it all, they come out positive, so we would have made money. We'd be up $651 if UNC won. We'd be up $31 if Kansas won.
Uh-huh. It's money.
And then Duke and Villanova, both we'd be down a K. We'd be down, okay.
down a K.
So Duke or K. Villanova won.
So we one thing we didn't discuss.
Did you only bet a K of it?
Right, so I have $600 left for this exact scenario.
I think we gotta let it ride on something.
Yeah, so I'm thinking...
I got a parlay.
I was thinking perfect segue, but yeah.
I'm thinking parlaying Duke and Villanova, because if both of them win, then we're going to be in total. Both are negative scenarios, so we got to load up something on
Duke. We'll have something to root for in the championship
game.
Right.
Now something we haven't discussed yet, though, is we probably should. That's on us for giving you the money, then not talking
about. I'm going to give you back the money.
What the 100%. Payment plan was on it. So, what percentage of the profits, if any, are we expected to give to you?
I'm just going
to
give it all back to you guys.
Okay.
That's cool.
And I'll match to myself. I'll match the portion to myself.
I'm also going to say what we should do, whatever amount we're left with. Wait, fuck. Do they change how the women's Final Four goes? Now it's Sunday night, not Tuesday night?
It's usually the night after.
I'm pretty sure they change it, though. I was going to say we should take all the money and let it ride on the women's championship. Give a little shine to the ladies. That'd be nice.
Yep, I'm down. For a second, I thought you were going to ask me to make a whole new spreadsheet for the women's.
Yes, that's exactly what I want. I know they changed it.
April 3rd, which I believe is...
Sunday.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, Sunday. So it is the day before.
Yeah. All right, so we'll have to make a decision on Sunday morning, Billy. We'll talk about it, and you're going to be still in New Jersey, so you'll be able to place a bet. Okay.
Thank God St. Peter's didn't win, because I wouldn't have been able to put a futures bet on it in the first place because of New Jersey.
Yeah.
So that would have been really bad.
So, yeah. So okay.
Because I had $5 on St. Peter's future to win it all when I was outside of New Jersey.
They also, I think I saw a lot of books because like when you bet on New Jersey, in New Jersey, you can't bet on New Jersey teams. So they'll have like title odds excluding, like your bet is void if a New Jersey team wins. And it only had excluding Rutgers and Seton Hall. What if they forgot to put it in St. Peter's?
What if they did in the Final Four? Who do you think is going to win? Duke, UNC, or I guess it would be Duke, Villanova, Kansas, or the Field. And then the Field would just be literally St. Peter's. Could you get away with that, I wonder?
No, I don't think so.
Hmm.
Yeah. All right, pretty stupid laws.
So we're rooting for UNC.
Yes, hard.
Okay.
Until I got to put something together to try to get some better situations for Duke and Villanova.
Okay. You let us know how it goes, and then we will, after Saturday night, we'll make a decision on what we're going to do with the women's championship game on Sunday night, even though we'll have a good picture of where we're at. So, Hank, that leads us to you. You're hot.
I'm hot. I'll give a quick backstory because you're very involved in this too. I did have a good Hungry Dog season. I took my money out. I haven't been really gambling much. So in the beginning of this tournament, on Thursday, I deposited $3,000 after like a million bets over the weekend. I think I was up like to 4,500. You texted me to take Houston Sunday night at like 2 a.m. Did that.
This was Houston versus Arizona.
Houston versus Arizona. Yeah, this was before the Sweet 16. So I did that. And then I think I had like 3,600 left after that Houston moneyline bet and St. Peter's for 500. I had 3,500 left. I said, fuck it. Big Cat's doing game of the year. I'm going to put all of that on Duke -4. So all three of those bets hit. I was feeling good about myself. Big Cat had the game of the year. I felt good about the game of the year myself.
Miami.
I understood his logic, Miami versus Iowa State. So
easy.
I took everything that I was up, put that on Miami. So it was responsible. It was winnings. I was taking my winnings, and I love the bet. So that was $6,000 to win $11,000, and then me and Big Cat were texting again on Friday night, and I was like, dude, I love UNC. There's no way that they're going to let, you know, NCAA wants Duke and UNC bad, and Big Cat was like, well, then Duke money line, UNC money line is the pick. That went off in my head. It clicked. It sparked something in my mind. On Saturday, I drove to Pennsylvania, like an hour away, just so I could put this bet in. And
you
I took,
can't bet on the UNC St. Peter's game.
Yeah, so I bet that $11,000, the Tobacco Road tsunami, that hit. So now I'm up a shit ton, and I'm just trying to figure out like what my next move is. I'm thinking about, you know, taking some out, maybe booking a vacation or like a summer house or something.
Typical.
But part of me, well, yeah, obviously you gotta do something with it. Otherwise,
Hank, you're not young anymore. You shouldn't be booking summer houses.
You gotta You gotta make it worth it. Otherwise, it's like if you like just keep it on the sports book, there's no reason. But I'm thinking the Celtics are like the hottest team in the NBA right now. Best defense, best offense. Duke, Celtics, championship future.
Okay, so I don't mind the fact that you're out here trying some crazy shit, taking risks, man, because it's been paying off for you. I don't love the fact that you're going cross sports here. I don't like that. You could
it's
get
the brotherhood. It's all connected.
Brotherhood.
Jason Tatum.
And then you'll have to like wait for your next winner.
Yeah. Well, I have a lot to play with. I wouldn't put $28,000 on it.
The
like,
scary thing is if Duke doesn't win at all, then you basically don't have your Celtics future.
That's true. But that's not, you know, that's not going to happen. Come on.
God, show? Well, let's think what would the NCAA rigged bet be? I think it would probably be Kansas and Duke moneyline. Right?
I agree. That's the can't lose parlay. That does.
So do that.
I think I can mess around a little bit. I do want to do one whale play for you know next weekend to keep the people going.
I mean the ultimate NCAA rig parlay would be Duke moneyline, Kansas moneyline, and future on Duke winning the Natty.
Or Duke moneyline, Kansas moneyline, future on Celtics winning the championship. 1,000 pays 23.
Wait, on Duke money line, Kansas money line, and Celtics championship?
Yeah, 5,000 pays 115,000. That's it.
When we're talking about shame. When we're talking about these big, anytime I see something like over $20,000 in an account, I just think that's a car.
Yeah.
You should get a car.
Or a summer house.
All right, well, this won't blow
champagne
up in your face.
No, this is good.
Won't blow up in your face. No. I'm now feeling a lot more confident about UNC. This is what I needed. I needed some ridiculous, like Hank is great when he's using his logic, not when he's doing this.
Well, no, what we're dealing with right now is like dangerously confident Hank.
Right. It's a terrible.
Yeah, yeah. That half little smile that Hank
Patriots
just hit right there,
Hank has joined the chat.
Yeah, oh, yeah. When Hank, I tried to tell you. You guys are texting me. Smile. I tried to share these bets with you. PFT was like, "No, I'm taking Arkansas." I was like, "That is the dumbest thing you could do." I tried to tell you.
There was a great moment.
Good. I hit St. Peter's money line. I had some cash burn hole in my pocket.
There was a great moment on Saturday night PFT when Hank and Marty, their Duke was up like 20, and they're like, "People just hate us." And Marty's like, "Oh, because I'm a Yankees and Duke fan." And Hank's like, "Yeah, I'm a Patriots and Duke fan." I was like, "Oh, my God, these guys."
So, you know, I mean, I kind of went through this a little bit during football season with Hank. But the fact that all his teams are so good, like,
yeah,
I've just kind of accepted the fact that there's something. Hank is a winner. Hank personally
wins. Winning.
He wins things all the time.
Yeah, and, no, this is going
to
be.
And I think it's a testament to Hank. It's not about the Patriots. It's not about Coach K. I would bet on Hank.
Yeah.
If there was like an ability to bet on a better
back Hank,
I'm taking Hank money line.
Yeah.
I won't let you. I wouldn't let you down.
Think about it. We've gotten this whole thing. Like we talked about Coach K's farewell tour. This has all been leading up to Hank. Like Hank is going to New Orleans. He's now a suit, so he gets to, you know, stay in the suite and everything. He's, you know, director of content. He gets everything he wants.
Vice president.
He's going to actually be able to trade business cards with Dookies on Bourbon Street at like 4 a.m. But this is all leading up to Hank's, the best weekend of Hank's life. And he's going to get to watch his team and his coach cut down the nets and walk away. And it's going to be
And we know how
incredible.
Fun it is to celebrate a championship on Bourbon Street.
We do.
I feel like Duke fans will probably be a little
more
rowdy.
No, they'll
be
doing their taxes because it is close to April 15th. I mean, I got to get to sleep.
What we saw last time was LSU winning a national championship in New Orleans.
I feel like this would be
crazier,
yeah.
This is probably going to be crazier, yeah. Duke, for sure.
I was going to say something that I'm not going to say because
Daniel Jones will be out
in
the
mix. A lot of trouble. So
yeah.
I'm not going to say what I was going
to
say.
Daniel Jones and Bates having like half a hand grenade and then going to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Dude. Don't let Bates Jones get hot. Coach K needs to play him more.
Grant Hill having half of a tee and falling asleep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and fucking Jim Nance. Who will Jim Nance give his tie to? Because Duke doesn't have any seniors because they don't have any senior nights, right?
I think it might be Coach K if they
win
it.
Oh, yeah, my God!
It is.
This is torture!
Am I wrong, though?
No, you're not! This is torture!
It's Coach K.
This is absolute torture!
He's probably going to give it to Coach K's grandson.
Oh, my God.
It's possible.
Or Mickey.
He'd be like, "Here, give this to your driver that your grandfather has purchased."
You see Coach K, please don't take a picture. He's so sick of all this attention. It's not about him. This is going to be sickening. Please, UNC. I bought so much UNC gear. I just need them so bad. I need them so, so bad.
Let's go for 6.
Oh, you motherfucker. 13.
66.
25. 11.
69.
Nice pick, bro. 72. Did we just have 72?
Back to back.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Damn.
PMT rigged.
Love
Damn.
You guys.
People in India wear masks on the back of their head to make sure that tigers don't sneak up on them.
Love you guys. Libs. Pretty soon Fauci's going to have us doing that here, too.
Did Rex Chapman teach you that one? Locker charge. This guy in India got eaten by a tiger because he didn't have his mask on.
Talking away. Though I don't know what I'm to say, I'll say it anyway. Today's another day to find you shying away. Though I'll be coming for your love of me. Shying away. Though I'll be coming for your love of me. I'm on set, but I'm being stolen away. Learn and learn, life is okay. Say up to me. It's for better to be safe than sorry. Say up to me. It's for better to be safe than sorry. Thank you.